Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode is brought to you by Harry's Razors.
Harry's Razors.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host with the most toast, Nick Mace Toast.
Again, the more we
I'll
do
get
this,
it right one
the
day.
The more we do these intros, the more I wonder if you're having a stroke before we get started. And in this one, you've introduced the concept of toast.
Yeah, which is something.
And the smell of burnt toast is often associated with somebody having a stroke. So,
correct.
Again, just checking. I feel oftentimes before we do the show, I say, okay, we should put a whiteboard and we should do like, okay, remember to people, you know, ask if people will like the videos and here's the stuff we say at the end or whatever.
Thank all the everybody.
Exactly.
I think
one of the whiteboards should be like that acronym for if someone's having a stroke. Yeah. Like FAST or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And then every week I can be like, James, look at it. Okay, firstly, follow my finger. Secondly, how are you doing, though?
I feel fine.
You're doing good.
I feel pretty good, yeah.
I'm wearing a turtleneck.
Yeah, you are.
Looking good. In honor of Jason Statham.
Ah,
the
so
man can
good.
Wear a turtleneck.
You better believe he
also,
can.
Also, it's very cold over here.
Yeah,
it's cold in Melbourne.
Yeah, you're honoring two things, the weather and Statham.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's it. I've got some news up top, Mason, and by that I mean Broadway news.
Oh, yes.
People might be interested in this. People in London. Ben from Canada, who edits a bunch of our videos, including the Caravan of Garbage, is most weeks.
That's right. He's a single threat.
That's right.
He just edits, right?
No, Mason.
Oh,
he does many a good thing. He's a very good actor.
I see.
He's been signed up to. He's just finished his acting.
Well,
school.
He's bloody good at acting. Like he likes working for you, eh?
Ah, Mason, that's not very nice.
Give him all the bloody Oscars.
But,
carry on.
Yeah, so he's in a play in London,
yeah.
a very well-received play. It's called Southern Bells, and it's playing until August 25th at the King's Head Theatre. It's highly acclaimed. I've read a bunch of reviews, and it's all 5 stars. This is incredible. If you are in London, which I am not, you should absolutely go and see this. It's linked below. They're not paying me to say this. Ben said, can you say this? And I said, you can pay me to say it, I said.
Mm-hmm.
What was I doing? I'm having that stroke,
aren't
I?
Yes, you are. Finally. Let's just get it
out of the
way.
I wish I could see it because, look, he's an incredible actor and by all accounts, it's an incredible play. Tickets are very reasonably priced. It's linked below. If you're in London, go and see it. Go and say hi. Not when he's doing
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure he would appreciate your enthusiasm.
Yeah.
But that's going to ruin the play.
Exactly.
Unless there's some sort of call and response element to the play.
Yeah.
I haven't seen the play. I haven't seen a play in a while.
Yep.
Have they introduced call and response elements to
yes,
plays
that's
at
right.
this point? I mean, maybe it's a pantomime.
Could be.
Yeah. If there's a big bad wolf behind him at any point, look, don't interrupt, but if any point a big bad wolf comes on a stage, you're allowed to say, he's behind you.
That's right, yeah.
He's behind
but
you.
But that is the extent
that's right.
of the interactions.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, Mason, we've also got other news, because this is about movies and TV shows and comics or whatever it is.
Well, apparently it's about plays now. But it's about plays.
Andy Serkis is apparently going to direct Venom 2. There was a number of directors thrown up, but Tom Hardy posted a picture of Andy Serkis, which makes me think that Andy Serkis is directing Venom 2.
Mm.
How do you feel, Mason?
That's an interesting thing, isn't it?
He's done. He did a lot of second unit stuff on the Hobbit trilogy.
Yeah, okay, right.
He also did the Jungle Book.
The Jungle Book,
which
that one,
is great, I feel. I really like that version of the Jungle Book.
Uh-huh.
I know a lot of people don't, but
does this give him any kind of creative direction for the movie?
That's a very good question.
Or is it just a case of like, here's the script, do you think? Because I mean, you know, he is the king of motion capture slash performance capture.
Snoke.
Oh, yeah, he was also Snoke.
He's Snoke, Mason.
He's Snoke. I'm aware that he's Snoke. It's true. Does that mean that this might be a really symbiote-heavy movie? Like, maybe this one moves to the planet of the symbiotes.
Yeah.
And it's all CGI, maybe? I don't
just
know.
Just goose lapping. I don't want that. I don't want that.
Absolutely not.
It's going to be Carnage. Don't you remember?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Was this a heavily motion capture movie? Or what's the deal with it? All right, cool. Sorry, I've asked too many questions.
No, I don't know. I'm still very unclear about how most of that movie
came
happened,
to be, yeah.
Or what happened in the movie.
Yeah. Maybe Andy Serkis just wants to play some sort of sea creatures in a tank in a restaurant.
That could very well be it, yeah.
That might be it.
This could be very much one of those situations where the first one is garbage and then the second one fixes it. And I had an example of that in my mind and now I don't have that anymore. Terminator 3, for example, is a big improvement on Terminator 2.
Absolutely,
that's probably a good example, isn't it?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
But that's really interesting. And maybe he's been drawn to it because of, or maybe they've approached him. Maybe they really want to map that Tom Hardy face to the Venom face. Or they want to, I don't know. Or isn't it... I don't know.
I didn't have a problem with the Venom look itself.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
But maybe they're like, we're going to bring in some new technology. Yeah. If anybody can tweak it, you can.
Yeah.
Or maybe the people just like that he's a good director with special effects. Yeah. And they're like, you can do this.
And apparently very nice.
He seems very nice.
Yeah.
I've seen a couple of, I think it was Vanity Fair videos or something on YouTube that are like him going through his career and stuff.
I think we've had some people also email in who have met him. And he's kind of always like, first of all, like surprised that he's recognized.
Uh-huh.
But he's, you know, he's been in things as well.
He's
as
Claw.
Himself. He's Claw, for example. Yeah. But yeah, he just kind of appreciates kind of the, you know, people recognizing him, his
That's
work.
Cool,
so
yeah.
Anyway, I think it's a good choice because I don't care about this movie, but I like Andy Serkis. So good on him, and I hope he does well.
Me too.
Ava DuVernay has confirmed that the Furies and Darkseid will be in her New Gods movie.
Oh.
Yeah. What are the Furies? Explain it to me so I don't have to look it up.
They're the fighting force of the female Furies. They're like Apocalypse's they're Darkseid's elite fighting force, I think.
Are they good or for
Apocalypse?
Ill?
They're for ill, I believe. Mr. Miracle's wife
is
Big
one
Barda,
of...
is was formerly a yes. Fury. Yes.
So. Yeah, well because she's previously been confirmed, so you think it might be a situation of where she's on Earth with Mr. Miracle and
maybe.
The Furies are back and they're like, you used to be one of us. And she's like, well, now I'm doing Earth shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now I'm living in a condo and getting brunch.
That's right. Exactly. That's such a good comic.
Yes.
Also, I'm so glad they didn't use Darkseid in Justice League.
Me too.
Because now they could use him in this.
Yeah.
And he might look like just a grey stone.
Did they recently
I mean, he does look like a grey stone. If anyone can look like a big grey stone in a movie, he's allowed to.
He's allowed to do that, I think, Did they recently release some concept art of him?
Yes. Actually looked all right.
I remember
it
looking all right also.
But do you think it would have improved that movie in any way?
No.
That good movie that we both like.
And it's a bad movie and no one likes it. No, I don't think it would have. No.
Yeah.
I think the one wise move they made in that movie is not bringing in the biggest big bad first of all.
I do wonder if
because then if just Superman just swats him.
Yeah, exactly.
What's the point?
Which probably would have been what happened. He throws him back into a portal and he's like, I'll be back, Superman. I'll rock Superman. Yeah, so there you go. That Snyder cut still happening.
Is it Kevin, real? Is it real?
Well, Kevin Smith talked about it this week and said it exists, but it's not finished. So it's a lot of, you know, green screen plates and whatever and people standing in front of a wind machine being like, get the laser, get it focused on the whatever. You know how movies end nowadays.
Yep, for sure. Is that how the Snyder Cut was going to end?
Yeah, probably.
The grim and gritty Snyder Cut was just going to be like, focus the laser. There's too many lasers coming out of the sky.
I wonder what would have happened to the DC universe and what the backlash would have been if that exact Snyder Cut had have come out.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it would have been good.
No.
But I just wonder what the landscape of DC film would have looked like and what the fans would think of it. Because I think it's one of those things where, like, I do want to see it. I can't believe we're still talking about it. But I don't think I'm going to see it and go, oh my God, this changes everything.
Like, no, absolutely
this is,
not.
Yeah.
No. Mm. Because, I mean, look, I don't even really know any of the details. How much footage, allegedly, is out there, I wonder?
Apparently, he's got a cut. Like, we've got a video on it, and at the end of
it,
like...
We talked about it.
But also,
well, I forgot.
Yeah, but at the end of it, he says, like, someone's filming on the iPhone, and he says, I've got a cut. It's, like, at my house. So, if someone could perform a Italian Job-style safe drop, that's a heads up for Italian Job's coming next week.
Oh, yeah.
We're doing it this week for Caravan of Garbage, hopefully.
Oh, yeah.
You know. But then, so that's how much we've got. A movie with some green screen in it. Focus the laser.
Sounds awful.
You got a crystal. The crystal needs to be aligned
with the laser. Where'd this crystal come from?
Wasn't there a crystal? Oh, it was a box.
It was a box, yeah.
Sorry.
Wait, no, we've opened the box. There's a crystal in it. That's the twist that you didn't know about. It's in the Snyder Cut. A box, ridiculous. Crystal, perfect.
Perfect, yeah.
Yes.
Speaking of DC, Robert Richardson, who was a cinematographer and was going to be on Ben Affleck's The Batman movie, said they had a script, but it wasn't a loved script, and there was a lot of work that he had to do to change it. He was going into more the insanity aspects of it, where he enters more of Arkham and everything, and everyone was bad. He goes into where everyone was bad. That's the exact quote. So, insane asylum.
Where everyone was bad.
Everyone was bad, including all the staff and the wardens, because they're all corrupt and letting each other in and out of prison. Well, and
some people in asylums are just misunderstood. They're not all bad.
The Scarecrow?
No, he's bad.
Bane?
No, he's very bad.
The Joker?
One of the worst.
When Batman goes in there and he's like, but I'm not crazy.
Just misunderstood.
You got to align the crystal to let me out of my cell.
And then Hugo Strange is like, there will be no aligning of the crystal, Batman, until you reveal your secret identity to me.
Yeah.
Oh, no, the crystal's been aligned. You know?
Yeah, I'm sure I've read multiple comics, including ones recently, where it's Batman in a padded cell with a straight jacket on, but he's also wearing the bat cowl.
He's wearing the cowl, yeah.
So they, oh, it's booby trapped, isn't it? It's like electrified. And
yeah, but also, but generally speaking, the plot line when Batman gets put into Arkham is that the goal here is to get Batman to admit who he is,
yeah,
and take the cowl off himself.
Or it's not the point that they. It's like it doesn't matter who he is. We just have to get him to stop aligning the crystals.
Yeah, and there's just a cleaner there just mopping, and he's like, should probably just take the mask off anyway. That might be a trigger for him.
Take your masks off, mate.
Mate, I reckon probably let you out if you took the mask off, actually.
Look, I owe them up, but
yeah.
I see a lot of things. Like, yeah. People don't think I see things, but I see things.
I'm just misunderstood.
So it is a movie. I mean, that isn't happening now. I wonder if the other version is going to have Arkham Asylum in it, because I would like to see that.
Yeah.
Is Arkham Asylum in any other DC movies? I genuinely don't know. Is it the end? Does Lex Luthor go in there at the end?
Of
I don't think he does. Actually,
might just be prison.
Just prison.
Who cares?
Me deeply.
Yeah, I kind of care also.
Yeah. I actually forgot to ask you this, but have you watched the trailer for The Irishman?
Yes.
Looks pretty bad, but but it's a Scorsese movie, and I don't really care what the trailer looks like, to be honest.
You think the movie will be good regardless?
No.
Okay.
But I think it's just benefit of the doubt for me. I'm like,
okay.
Most of his stuff is good. And I don't care if this looks like any gangster film that De Niro and Pacino have done in the last 15 years, which is what it looks like.
It absolutely does. This could be made from off-cut footage.
Yeah.
This could be a fake trailer, for all I know. You know, sometimes people are like, the Flash movie's out, the trailer for the Flash movie's out. And it's just like old John Wesley Shipp Flash footage and then like the CW Flash footage and some
Michael
cartoon
Keaton
stuff.
Batman.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It could be that as far as I can tell, but yeah, I'm willing. I'll give it the benefit of the doubt.
Definitely. Also confirmed, we talked about this last week, The Irishman is Robert De Niro. We suspected it as such.
That's true, we did.
And we knew it all along.
Uh-huh.
The de-aging, people were like, when and what and how?
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some in the trailer, but at the end, when you see Robert De Niro on the phone, it's supposed to be this big reveal where it pans around him and you're like, that's young Robert De Niro. Mm-hmm. But it's like 2003 Robert De Niro.
Yeah.
I was expecting like Taxi Driver, Godfather.
Right.
Even Heat Robert De Niro. I'll take Heat Robert De Niro.
But are you saying...
Was he in Heat? He was, wasn't he?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because I think it was, it was De Niro Pacino.
Yes.
It was their famed final.
They had a cafe off. Yeah. Wow.
Exactly.
I'm going to get you. De Niro was the criminal?
I don't know.
Val Kilmer had a ponytail.
That I know.
Good.
Yeah.
It's not a very good movie.
No.
I know a lot of people like it.
A lot of people love it. Michael Mann is the director of that movie.
Wow. Well said.
I didn't see it for many years, and people were like, you got to see Heat.
It's the ultimate heist movie.
Speaking of, because we talked heist movies just earlier, we were doing that video for the Italian Job. And people are like, oh my God, it's the best heist movie. Oh my God, the heist. When they get to the heist, so good. They just shoot. It's a van. It's just a van, and they shoot. They're just shooting in vans.
If it was the best shooting in a van with machine guns movie, I would say, for the time, maybe.
Yeah, top three for the time, sure.
Yeah.
Mm.
It's not terrible.
No.
Yeah.
Michael Mann's done some good stuff.
Yeah, he has.
Hmm. Not that, or that Miami Vice movie he did.
Or probably the TV show, which he also did.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, the original one.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a new one?
I don't think so.
But maybe there is.
I don't think so.
Okay, I'm going to look it up.
Okay.
While you say more things
I know there was a Lethal Weapon series.
Yes.
They did that. That got cancelled. There was a pilot for a Magnum PI series, I think, which didn't get picked up.
Oh,
which
didn't get
looked
picked
amazing.
Up. Yeah.
Which I wish existed.
Yes.
But it does, and I haven't looked for it. I don't think there's a Miami Vice series. Unless, of course, it's just weird stuff happening in Florida.
Oh, there's apparently a 2020 one, so it's upcoming.
I see.
There's a reboot
okay, right.
in the works.
Okay, right.
So there you go.
Okay. Wow. All right. All right. I'll watch that.
No, you won't.
I'll watch one episode of that. Is Michael Mann involved?
I don't know, but sure.
Okay.
He wants to complete his Miami Vice trilogy. Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's interesting because, like, the original version of Miami Vice is, you know, it's a little... It's the pilot was quite dark, and then it was kind of, you know... The tone sort of, the episodes I've seen, like the tone, you know, there were some lighter episodes and some darker episodes.
Yeah.
It was network TV or whatever. And then the movie was apparently like his original vision for
yes.
Miami Vice. And it was very grim and dark and gritty and bad.
Yeah, it was
like
bad.
It. So I'm wondering.
And it was mostly just taking boats to
yes,
Cuba.
Mostly
just back and forth.
It was mostly helicopter shots of boats going to Cuba. But I wonder, because people...
Vin Diesel's an executive yeah. producer on the new one.
All right.
Yeah.
So, because people remember, like when you think of Miami Vice, people remember like white suits, you know, with the sleeves rolled up and everybody's
yeah.
driving a Lamborghini and it's all kind of neon and pastels and stuff
sure.
like that. So I wonder if this new version is going to be like modern day grim and gritty drugs
yeah.
Cuba and whatever, or if it's going to be like, well, hey, it's the 80s.
I think it'll be that.
This guy can't let it go. Can't let the 80s go. He's wearing a suit with the sleeves pushed up.
I think it will be Drive. Because that's kind of a combination of those two things.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
Drive is just old enough now where you're getting too late to it.
Oh, I see, right.
Yeah. Okay. Apparently, though, this is why I thought this, because in November of last year, a teaser trailer was released on YouTube and features a black Lamborghini driving through Miami at night.
I see.
Set to In the Air Tonight by Phil Collins.
Oh, I think I vaguely remember
so,
that.
Yeah,
right.
That's why I thought that.
And also in that trailer, there's a gorilla and he's playing the drums?
That's correct,
that's
yes.
the, what I'm thinking of, the yeah. Miami Vice trailer. Okay,
I like
yeah.
the new direction they're taking.
Me too.
Why do we get caught on these tangents? The Irishman. It's coming to Netflix.
Okay, yeah, it sure is.
But if it comes to Netflix, can it be eligible for Oscars? Who gives a fuck? It doesn't matter.
Yep.
It doesn't matter.
The Oscars are irrelevant.
Yes.
Except to stars who get a lot more money if they win an Oscar for some reason. Isn't that weird?
Yeah, it is weird,
Like, even though Oscars are more irrelevant than they've ever been to people,
yeah.
to the viewers of these movies, if you win an Oscar, these movies... Studios are like, we'll give you more money. We'll
yeah.
give you $10 million. Why not?
I feel like a lot of the time someone wins an Oscar and then they don't really bother to do anything good afterwards.
Cuba Gooding Jr.
That is a good example. And that's not true entirely, but it seems often to be the peak of someone's career and then they're like, whatever, from now on.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Adrian Brody. I mean, he did Predators, which is an incredible movie.
It's true, yeah.
And when did we talk about Oscars and that? When did we do that recently?
Did we do it for a video?
We did it for an ad, actually.
Oh, okay, right.
We did it for an ad that some people will hear because it's going to be in some episodes.
There you go.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Yeah, I was like, when did we say that?
Was it in real life? Yeah. I doubt it.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Did you see Christopher Nolan's new movie, Tenet, or Tenet?
Tenet?
David Tennant, T-E-N-E-T, but the second T is upside down, so it looks like an L.
Oh.
It's time travel.
The
trailer's only being released in cinemas. It's being rolled out the world over because the cinema is back, the cinema experience.
Also, you can't get it on YouTube.
Not at the moment. Oh, I watched the leaked version, and I was like, I don't know what that is.
Okay,
I have
right.
No idea what that is.
You know, I didn't see it, but I did see, you know, one of those clickbait titles that comes up on Facebook, and it's like, could this be a sequel to Inception? Is it?
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's Inception, but time travel.
Is it Inception? And then somebody's like, underneath the first comments, like, it's not. I clicked so you don't have to, it's not.
I recommend following Film Clickbait on
That's
Twitter.
That's a good one, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They'll shut all that shit down immediately.
That's good.
And I look forward to being on it one day with you.
Me too. Hey guys, listen to our podcast. And there's the above it, it's just got, don't do
else.
It. Don't worry about it. We've got all the latest news. They don't.
They don't. It's mostly recycled stuff.
Yeah,
they're
not.
They've got zero inside information. All their scoops are from anonymous emails.
Yep.
They don't know anything. So I find it interesting, though, that he's at a point in his career where he can be like, it's only going in theatres.
Yeah.
Because it will obviously be released online, but this builds hype as well. I think it's all so smart.
So what happens in this trailer?
It's like a guy and he's looking at it like a broken glass, but then it happens again. And maybe it's a time loop. And then there's flashes of a whole lot of different people. And then the word Tenet or Tenet spins upside down. And I'm like, that answered none of my questions about this movie.
Oh my
God,
Tenet,
about.
Maybe it's a Doctor Who prequel.
That's what I was thinking. With Christopher Eccleston.
It's not. Cool clickbait, it's not. It's not though.
So there you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're interested, obviously.
Yeah, sure.
You like his movies?
I do for the most part,
except for the one game-breaking element in all of them?
Yes, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
So for Inception, it was...
Well, in Dunkirk, it's planes, obviously.
They're
too heavy to fly. You know what I mean?
It's a really good point. Well, it's like a bumblebee, because, have you heard this?
Yes.
The physics behind a bumblebee, it technically shouldn't be able to fly.
Film clickbait.
That's
the physics hold up, it's fine.
What are you talking about? Well, who would think that's clearly not true?
Yeah, right?
Because it's doing it.
It's doing it, yeah.
So...
Yeah.
Anyway,
yeah.
But you, I remember you said there's going to be a weird time dilation, or there's going to be a weird, like wrinkle to Dunkirk, and I was like, they can't because it's World War II.
Yeah,
you can't, and it's based on a real event. But lo and behold, you were right. It's set in like three different time periods,
oh, yeah.
And they all converge at
oh,
the end.
Oh my God, I was
You're
right.
Right, yeah. So there you go.
Wow. And man, I'm good at this.
Yeah, and in
I should write articles for Geek Tyrant or whatever it's called. Okay, well, I'm on board for Tenet. Again, like, I don't love everything he's done, but I really did. I like Dunkirk, you know.
You don't like Inception?
No, I do like Inception.
You like Inception. Yeah, I like Inception,
a lot.
Remember how the buildings fold in?
Yes.
And they're like, do you even remember being in the dream? And they're like, we don't remember nothing.
Yeah, I remember that. It was good.
Good movie.
Yeah, I'm on board. I don't know if I love whatever twist is in this, but I'm willing to give it a go. And they got a lot of style, these movies. So.
What if the twist is that it is an Inception
prequel?
What will you do?
What if the twist is there's no twist at all and it just gets to the end and the credits roll and there's like one of those little picture-in-picture things and it's like, hi, I'm Christopher Nolan, the director of Tenet. Thanks for watching. There's nothing more to this. It was just a movie where some stuff happened and then it was the end.
You'll stay till the end of the credits regardless.
But there's nothing.
There's nothing.
Why would there be anything? I'm Christopher Nolan. I don't do that sort of stuff. I'm an auteur.
Yeah.
Anyway, good night, everyone. And then he just waves. He just waves for like 9.5 minutes as the credits roll.
Excellent.
And then he does the
I'm never doing a Batman sequel, by the way. Stop asking me about Batman. I'm done
not
with
happening.
Batman.
I'm done.
I'm done answering questions.
I only did three because the first one did very well and they gave me a lot of money.
Yeah.
So I could do some other stuff that I liked more.
Yeah.
I really phoned in that last one.
Yeah, you noticed.
Yeah.
You all noticed.
You all noticed, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to do another Memento, but I haven't got any more ideas like that.
Yeah, and Guy Pearce has run out of space on his body to tattoo stuff on. So what do you want me to do?
And then at the end he does a Ferris Bueller. He's like, go home. Go home. But he's in the Ferris Bueller bedroom.
Yeah, sure.
Go home. Like,
why not? Why not? Marvel is apparently casting in their Phase 4 movies a transgender female role.
Cool.
Codenamed Jessica. They're looking for a trans woman actress of any ethnicity, sorry, in her 20s or 30s to play her. Geeks Worldwide reckons it could be Sarah from
I don't know who that
Eternals,
is.
Maybe.
Oh, okay, right.
Maybe. So there you go. It's obviously PC gone mad, Mason. We both agree with that. But good, because why not just have a more diverse range of people?
Would it be nice, wouldn't it?
In a movie. Yeah. It's not going to ruin anything. And I know there is also the argument of like, but are you doing it, forcing it to create the controversy to whatever, you know?
Well, that's the thing. You've got to build that in now. It's like...
And that is an element for a lot of things, I think. Yeah, I think that Bond casting is probably almost exclusively that.
Stunt casting.
Yeah, but I'm still also like, but you know what? A bit of representation.
Well, here's the thing. Yeah. I've said this before about all sorts of stuff, is that you have to factor in that on one hand... corporations are heartless, soulless monsters,
yep.
And they only do anything because it will like affect their balance sheet.
Yes.
Like it'll only put stuff in the, you know, it's only for profiting reasons.
The Lion King remake,
exactly. But and so, you know, if they're like, hey, we're going to fully support the queer community for this, obviously that's just a stunt.
Mm.
But in doing that, it can give rise to like queer creators or you know.
I think you said people who actually care about this
stuff. Yeah, people of colour who actually care about it, they then get a chance to write this thing or star in this thing or do this thing.
Yeah.
And that works out. So, like, the idea behind, they're just doing diversity for profits. Yeah, we know. We know they're just doing diversity for profits, but that means that people will see themselves in these movies,
yes.
Which is good, and people who want to create with a unique voice can do these movies.
That's right. And sometimes things are good or bad regardless.
Yes. Anyway, we've saved movies.
Yes.
We've done it again, James.
How do we do it?
Two middle-class white men.
Film clickbait. They did do it.
They did do it.
This time they've done it.
Hooray!
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Oh, did you see the Instagram post of the guy whose name I can't recall, but he's Canadian and he is Aladdin in Aladdin, new Aladdin.
Oh yeah, I like him a lot.
And he was like, I should be the new Wolverine.
He's Canadian?
He's Canadian.
Yeah.
That's all that's required.
And he's short-ish.
That's true.
Looks like he could grow a pretty good sideburn.
That's true, yeah. Also, yeah.
I mean, also it's PC Gone Mad. It's PC Gone Mad. I like the new slate that's coming up. Mm. I don't know whether any of it'll be good. But I think also I like that they're in a position where they've made so much money and there's so much good faith behind the movies that they're trying things a little differently, regardless of how that goes.
Yeah.
But, you know.
I think the next Wolverine should be short and squat.
I agree.
Yeah. Like the same height as he is width. You know?
Yes.
You know?
I agree.
Yeah.
Kind of like that He-Man action figure, Ramdar. Battering Ram.
Ramdar. No, it was Ram Man.
Was it? Okay.
It was Ram Man.
Yeah, him.
Yeah.
Get whoever played him in the cartoon.
He-Man. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. I saw Taron Egerton as well. People were like, what about him? I'm like, yeah, sure. Why not?
No, I mean,
PC Gone Mad, obviously.
It's PC Gone Mad. A British person.
Are you kidding me?
A British person.
Where are we getting a British Batman?
Ugh.
You know I'm not happy about that, Mason. Ryan Reynolds has posted on Twitter an Instagram post that's related to Deadpool. It's like one of those serial killer boards where all the strings connected.
Oh, yes. Uh-huh.
And it says, investigating heading into year 5, or as I call it, phase 5. The point is I love conspiracy yarn.
Oh, so the phase year 5 of the Deadpool cinematic universe,
yes.
Is that the joke?
Or
yes.
Hashtag leak anniversary, which is what it's of. So when Deadpool's leaked,
right.
And
mm-hmm. By him, allegedly?
Yes, it was him.
Okay, right.
I mean, he hasn't... Yes, I mean, he said everything but...
Oh, right, uh-huh.
Yeah,
sure.
He did leak it. Yeah.
Good for him.
I know, because that whole franchise is better for...
I agree.
The X-Men movies made money because of that.
That's true.
Yeah. They should thank him
every
day.
He tricked so many people.
He really did.
Seeing those X-Men movies.
So there you go. So phase 5, it looks like. What I also get from that is Deadpool won't be in this next phase, but he'll be in phase 5.
Of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
Okay, right.
Because they own him.
That's true.
And he'll probably come out at the start with Mickey Mouse ears, and he's like, well, what is this bloody Mickey Mouse show? What is this, the bloody Mickey Mouse show? But then twist, he's in a dress. It's Minnie Mouse.
Oh, my goodness.
Isn't that Deadpool?
That is very Deadpool.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, I'm free to write it if anybody. I'm not doing anything most days, so.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, what do you think, though? Phase 5. And that's at least 2 years off. Three,
yeah, cool.
More likely.
All right, I'm on board.
Great, awesome. Mm-hmm. All right, we're going to talk about The Boys and Hobbs and Shaw in that order, aren't we, Mason? If you want to skip ahead to Hobbs and Shaw, you can. There's also spoilers. We'll put in the spoilers for The Boys if you want to skip, but it's on television. You can watch it on television. Yeah.
Nice.
Let's do that now. Oh, there'll be an ad first.
Okay, there'll be an ad.
Yeah.
And then we'll put in the pre-recorded segment about the boys.
No, this is all one segment.
Is it? Good for us.
Yep, yep.
Okay.
We didn't record it 3 days ago.
Okay.
So this wouldn't be an exhausting episode.
I understand.
I love ads and I love doing ads.
Me too.
I love slipping into an ad mid-podcast.
Seamless.
Seamless, like the integration of an ad in a podcast.
Synergy.
That's right.
Product integration.
Mason.
Well, not really, because we don't shave on mic.
No, we don't.
We could.
We leave Mike alone.
Get out of here, Mike. The intern.
Your dog.
Yeah.
Listen, you got any travel plans for the summer, Mason, / the winter period here?
Yep.
What do you got? What are you doing?
Road trip?
Road trip, exactly. And that's a really good idea when you go on a road trip, as I did recently, Mason, to the Gold Coast, to the GC.
How'd that go?
Good, because you bring your Harry's razor, you put it in a little travel case, you go on your way.
Was that the only highlight of the trip?
Absolutely.
You're like, oh, why am I doing this? Oh, I get a chance to shave, though. Very nice.
A lot of guys actually buy disposable razors when they travel. You know, you might grab them at the airport or whatever.
Huge mistake.
I
don't know where this ad copy's going.
What if it wasn't? What if it was like, and it's the best thing you could do?
No, I'm taking a stand. I don't care what you say. No. It's a big mistake. Bring your Harry's razor.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Because you don't have to sacrifice quality for price. Because Harry's deliver high quality, travel-friendly shave supplies at a great low price. And that's just $2 per blade. And that also helps out the show, doesn't it? When
absolutely
people use our special offer that we've got. Harry's were founded by two regular guys who are tired of getting ripped off for paying for overpriced gimmicks.
Sometimes at the airport. Or at the road trip port, you know?
I bought a bottle of water at the airport. It cost $5.50.
Huh.
That's outrageous.
That is outrageous.
It is outrageous. It's water.
Yeah.
I drank from the toilet, Mason. That's what I did.
But you bought the bottle of water.
Yeah, but it's the principle,
it's the principle
isn't it?
Thing. Okay, right, I get you.
So they don't do vibrating heads, heated blades, handles that look like a prop in a sci-fi movie. Those are just some of the tactics that the leading brands have used to overcharge for years.
Thumbs down, I say.
That's right. Again, quality, durable blades at a fair price, just $2 per blade.
They really are.
They cut out the middleman. You also get a sweet discount through this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Harry's owns a world-class blade factory in Germany, and they're making some of the best razor blades in the world for 99 years. And now they can provide great quality comfort at factory direct prices with 100% quality guarantee. So if you don't love your shave, let them know and they'll give you a full refund.
Full refund.
This summer, refresh your wallet and your face with a Harry's trial set because it comes with a weighted ergonomic handle for an easy grip, 5-blade razor with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade for a close shave, rich lathering shave gel that will leave you smelling great, and a travel blade cover, as mentioned, that keeps your razor dry and easy on the go. And also they
last. And easy on the eyes.
That's right. That's true, Mason. Mm. And they last for a heck of a long time, am I right?
You better believe it.
I do believe it, and I have continued to believe it. Now, if you go to harrys.com/weeklyplanet, you can redeem your offer and let them know that we sent you to help support the show. That's harrys.com/weeklyplanet to redeem your offer. All of that trial set, as mentioned, it's linked below. Helps us out, doesn't it?
You better
believe
it.
Helps your face out. Helps
mine personally?
And Mike. Get back in here, Mike.
We forgive you. Just kidding. Get out.
Amazon might be on a bit of a roll at the moment, Mason. Would you agree with that? In terms of quality superhero shows.
Yeah, The Tick.
The Tick,
mm-hmm.
Good Omens.
Yes.
Well, not superhero, but you know what I mean.
Comics, fantastical.
Fantastical. Books.
Books.
More books than anything, isn't it?
This.
What am I doing?
This started out really narrow and then you broadened it out as you realised that the
three things I was talking about aren't all comics.
No, that's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But The Boys also.
Well, yeah, The Boys.
Have you seen all three of those?
I have seen all three of those.
You've seen all of Good Omens?
Yes.
Interesting. What do you think of that, just quickly?
I like it. It's very,
Douglas Adams.
Yes, it's very Douglas Adams, absolutely. It's very that Hitchhiker's movie that not a lot of people saw, but I still enjoyed.
You wish.
Yeah. When did we watch it that time and all those guys walked out?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
They were I remember one guy, he was going to insult it on the way out.
Yeah.
And he went, stupid, dumb movie.
Nice.
He got him.
Yeah, he did get him. Yeah.
I think it was the 4-minute dolphin scene that broke him.
Yeah, it really was, yeah. And the voiceover, I think.
Yeah,
and
right.
There was voiceover and there was reading.
Yes.
And there was dolphin stuff, and I don't think he could handle it, to be honest.
Anyway, this was going to be a movie, actually. 2008, Adam McKay, he signed on to do it.
Oh.
It did end up happening. I think it works better as a TV series.
I think so too, yeah.
So Eric Kripke, who you may know from Supernatural.
Nope.
He did the first 17,000 seasons or something.
Oh, yeah,
like
terrific.
That? Yeah, I think
the first third.
Yeah.
Okay, right. And this is another Seth Rogen joint.
It is, yeah.
In the tradition of Preacher. Because this is, again, this is a Garth Ennis
yep.
created franchise.
I just saw this. It started at Wildstorm, one of your favorites.
That's true, it did.
And then moved to Dynamite.
Which I'm going to assume, I don't know the timeline there, but I would assume that's because Jim Lee, who owned Wildstorm, sold it back to DC. And then he probably was like, if anybody wants to jump ship, you can jump ship.
Yeah.
I imagine Garth Ennis would have jumped ship.
Because Wildstorm was creator-owned, was it?
Yeah, Wildstorm was an image
thing. There you bloody go. We did an episode on it probably.
We did,
that's
true, yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, we're already getting season two of this. It's already in production. I think they're filming it currently. What do you think the story was?
Oh, no.
I got you. Snuck it in.
You got me. Bloody, it's modern day America, isn't it? Except,
isn't it just?
There's superheroes, except, bit satirical, isn't it?
Corporations,
organized religion.
Shenanigans. Yeah.
Babies shooting lasers out of their eyes.
That was incredible.
Pretty good, right?
The best.
Yeah.
What do you think of this?
I think it's skirted the line, but, you know, it's very much like right on the edge. It's edgy, let me tell you.
I can appreciate that.
But it's right on that line of like, okay, this is quite a clever satire of what's happening in superheroes and what superheroes would be like in the real world and the corporatization of that. And at the same time, and then sometimes it skips up the line. I'm like, well, that's a bit much.
A bit gross and a bit much.
Yeah.
Yeah. Are you talking about specifically like sexual assault stuff and things out of it? Yeah. I don't disagree with that. Though the thing is, it's less of that in this than there is in the comic.
That's true. It is. Yeah. It is a little bit. It's significantly cleaned up.
If you can believe it.
But I mean, there was something like 70 issues of the comic book. So
yeah,
there's plenty of room to make things worse.
To move
and
into
maybe
that,
this is a very cleaned up intro.
Yeah.
Just to ease people in, and then season two will get worse.
Yeah.
We don't know yet.
Yeah, because I'm the same with you. Like I found those bits uncomfortable, but then I'm also thinking, this is a terrible universe with terrible people. But then I'm also thinking, is there a better way to do it than...
Yeah, right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
I mean, because it kind of adheres to the comics in some ways by doing those things. But yeah, it's kind of like, are we still doing this? Kind of...
Yeah, right, right.
Mm.
But at the same time, if you don't put that stuff in, it's really just...
Yeah.
Justice League, but they're kind of rude.
Yeah,
you know.
Yeah, that's. Exactly
I love the idea of just a. Oh my god, this is a real skewering of the MCU and the DCEU. You know, those multi-billion-dollar companies from us, the little guy, Amazon.
Yeah, I know,
the
right?
biggest company in the world.
We've never paid taxes.
Yeah,
and we never will. It's very well cast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's less well accented, certainly.
You talking about Billy Butcher?
Yes, I am.
Specifically?
Yes, Carl Urban.
Because
yes.
He is British, isn't he?
No, he's from New Zealand.
No, I mean, sorry, the
character,
comic he's supposed
right.
to be.
He's, yeah. Uh-huh.
He looks like him, doesn't he?
That's
Would you
true.
Rather him have his New Zealand accent? Be like, oi, isn't it?
No, well, absolutely
that's
not.
That's not New Zealand.
No.
Though,
no, I do like his accent that veers from Cockney to whatever else.
Yeah, I didn't mind it. I was watching this and I'm like, is this a terrible accent?
On purpose.
On purpose? Or like, or if you're from England, is it like offensive to hear?
Because
for me, I don't mind it. I'm like, because this is garish and over the top.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah, whatever. I don't give a shit.
What I think is just an interesting thing, sort of apropos of nothing, that we're probably else we're going to talk about, but that the fact that
non-spoilers and spoilers, right?
Yeah, sure. That he drops the C-bomb so often.
Mm.
That I wonder if America has adjusted to that at this point, or if that's still... Is that meant to be part of the shocking nature
of the
show and the character that he just keeps doing this? Because I'm like, that's kind of quaint, isn't it?
We could, because in Australia, it's a term of endearment.
Absolutely.
It's a flat-out insult. It's hailing a cab. It's whatever. It's whatever you want to use it for.
That's right.
Yeah. Actually, to our American listeners, was it kind of shocking to see that? I think probably less so now than like 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
That's true.
It's not a word I really use that much.
No.
But you know.
Yeah.
If you want to use it, Mason, now's your opportunity. You can prove that you're not a coward.
No, I'm going to save it up.
You can't do it. He's still a coward.
I'm going to save it up. Yeah.
Good for you. Simon Pegg, it's funny that he plays Huey's father because from the comic, he's just Simon Pegg.
Oh yes, in the comic book, who did the art in the original couple of things? Was it Derek Robertson? I don't know.
Tell you,
But his visual inspiration for Wee Huey in the comic book is just Simon Pegg.
Yeah.
I guess when it was originally meant to be a movie,
yeah, like 2006 or whatever,
it could very well have been Simon Pegg. Yeah. But a decade plus later, he's a dad now.
A dad now with abs now.
Oh, is he?
He's doing abs now.
Yeah, no, that's
he's
true,
he's like GQ shoot or whatever.
I guess he's
doing
abs
now.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, so I was watching an interview with him recently because he's cleaned up all these, like he was verging on alcoholism and all this kind of things.
Oh, really?
He's cleaned himself up.
Okay.
I'd never thought that about him. Like, he seems like a nice enough guy.
You're right.
Who has no personal problems, but we've all got demons, don't we?
Maybe it's in his autobiography that I didn't read.
Oh.
Mm.
What's it called?
Nerd-do-well.
Oh, I thought you were going to make up something.
No, it's real.
So this wasn't a beat that you were doing? No. You weren't building up to an incredible joke?
Now I'm going to have to, aren't I?
Frenchie's good. Maybe a real French guy. Who's to say?
That's all we can ask for, isn't it?
Kameko's good. Mm-hmm. Mother's Milk's good. Starlight's good. Like, the I guess the good people in this, I guess.
The core cast.
They're all very entertaining in their
own. What do we know about the actor that plays Homelander?
I actually just looked into this.
He's also from New Zealand.
Yeah, he's also... Because you know what's good about a lot of the heroes from this, with the exception of A-Train?
Yes.
I didn't recognise specifically a single one of them.
What's A-Train from?
He's Shaft Jr.
Oh, okay, right. He's that movie I saw mere weeks ago. That's right. Recall.
He's
okay.
Will Smith Jr. from Independence Day. No, just Jr. from Independence Day. This is the only role that he's done where I'm like, oh, I like... He's okay.
All right,
Yeah, because the other ones, it's just... I did watch Shaft at your
Yeah, I know you
behest,
did, and you hated it.
I did
it.
Not enjoy
no,
it at all.
Uh-huh.
Shaft 2000 all the way, baby. Mason.
No, I disagree.
So, no, he's from New Zealand. Yeah. What do you think of him?
Good. Yeah. Great. That's...
I think that added to it. It's kind of that Chris Reeve kind of thing of like, it's an unknown.
Yeah, we don't have any preconceived notions of what that character can or cannot do or be.
I thought he was American. I had no idea until
I
looked it up.
That's what we
He's
want.
He's not
it's
even
the flag.
Blonde.
It's the flag that does it.
That might be it.
Yep.
Costumes are good, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. He never really gets out of that costume, does he? Must be uncomfortable. What's under there? Is it glued to him? At least the top half is.
That's true.
Something's going on there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But again, I liked it. I enjoyed it. I mean, I think maybe the... I wonder about in terms of pacing. Like, I don't think it's a spoiler to say that everybody in all the superheroes are bad people. That's the whole premise. It's in the trailer.
Though there is more so than the comics. And our friend Hollywood Pete Ford didn't like this element of it. They humanize a lot of them.
That's
like
true.
They do the worst thing imaginable, and then come around and be like, "But they've got their own demons." And I'm like, "Yeah, but fuck that guy."
I guess in the comic books, for the most part, they're just awful. They're all just awful people. Like, there's no.
Awful and stupid.
Yeah,
and...
we encounter, they're like, we're going to get this super team and beat them up or whatever. And then they're all horrible people involved in awful things. And then they just go, we're going to blackmail you. And then they're like, well, let's fight. And then they kill each other.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of...
Pretty much
it's
it.
More
yeah.
cut and dried in this. Yeah. Like, do you think they should have spaced out the revelation that Homelander is not all that he says he is? Or like, that he's not... this paragon of virtue.
Because
I think they pretty much give the game away like episode one.
You're right. They do. Yeah. They do give it away fairly quickly. Yeah, maybe. I mean, having read the comics, I knew that, obviously. Yeah. But do you think people would have figured it out, even though he was like, that guy's, you haven't got a bloody thing on Homelander?
Yeah, I thought that was weird that there was nothing on that guy, despite the fact that...
They knew a lot about him.
Yeah.
And he knew specifically a lot about him.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. I guess there was nothing that they could... openly use on him, I guess. The other ones, a lot of them, they could.
Yeah,
maybe.
That's true.
There's things that, like A-Train ran through a woman.
Yeah, that's true, he did. Yep.
There's a lot of people exploding like a bag of blood in this.
Yes.
Which
and
I like.
And being sliced to pieces.
Yeah. Like that laser vision that they use in that, it cuts through a plane at one point. It's really good. Oh. It's actually, it's more light on fighting and action sequences and special effects than I think you'd realize. Or a lot of the special effects is like background stuff. You know what I mean? It's not all brawly, brawly, punchy, punchy.
That's true. It is. I mean, and again, very small budget, Amazon.
Yeah, you know? That's right, exactly.
They got no money. So.
Yeah. But I like the element of, if this happened in the real world, first of all, God help us, bloody every one of us, mate.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Because it would be like a corporation getting together a group of these people and monetizing them and having press events and selfies and being like, okay, so if you save a bus, then you've got to stay around and get selfies and then whatever.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
It'd be like being a professional sports person.
Yeah.
And there would be some that are terrible, most that are terrible probably, and some that are, that are just trying to do the right thing or whatever.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that element kind of rang true to a thing that's very much untrue. Queen Maeve, I liked as well. Another actor, I'm like, don't know who this is, but it works because it's like this Wonder Woman-esque.
It's Wonder Woman.
Yeah, it is. Wonder Woman without the lasso.
Or the jet.
There's a guy who's Silent Batman.
Yeah.
What's his deal? I can't remember from the comics. I haven't finished him, actually.
Well, unless there's going to be some sort of odd twist in season two, in this he kind of just is Silent Batman. But in the comic books, he's a clone of Homelander.
Ah.
If you recall.
I'm not up to that yet.
Okay.
There you go. Oh, there you go. That's probably what it will be here.
No. Well, I mean, it might be, but
But they're not doing that storyline, though, I guess.
No, so there's the revelation. See, I can't say it without spoiling. Okay. I can't say it in non-spoilers, but if I tell you, I'm also spoiling you for the comic books.
So. Oh, okay. Yeah, right. I think I know it anyway. Yeah, but do you want to move into spoilers?
Let's move into spoilers.
Yeah, okay, go on. For the comic and the...
Oh, okay, so in the comic book, all of the most horrible things that Homelander does are actually...
Yeah.
Black Noir.
And he's...
Because he's a clone of Homelander.
And he's trying to come to terms with that.
Yes, exactly.
Because he thinks it's him that's doing it.
Yes,
that
exactly.
He's going mad or...
Yeah, but in this, whatever. All the worst stuff that's happening is Homelander, because he's a terrible person.
Yeah. Though he still does some terrible things in the comic, because I've started rereading again. There's a bit where a family win, like, a dinner with Homelander, and so he flies off with their car, and then he just drops it.
Yeah.
Like, he's just like, I'm not doing this. He just lets them die.
Right.
What I kind of wish...
I think that that's one aspect that they have had to tone down in this, is that... In the comic books, they are the worst people alive in a lot of cases. And you can't like, and that works because it's kind of this hyper-real cartoony world in The Boys, in the comic book. But in the TV series, if he was dropping people off, you know, Someone would notice. Yeah, exactly, right.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. A big change that I noticed from this, and I think it speaks to the whole series, is how they handle the plane crash sequence. Because from the comics, from my memory... The superhero team get into the plane and they're like, don't worry, everybody, we've got this. And they just fuck it. Because none of them are engineers or pilots or know what they're doing. And they end up crashing the plane and panicking and leaving.
Yes.
But in this, it's an like he kind of cuts through the fuselage or whatever. And then it's like, they're done. I can't. I'm just going to go. So I think that's the difference.
Yeah, there's also way more incompetence in the cartoon series as well. Like these guys seem... Again, they are more like elite athletes. They do, for the most part, know what they're doing, but they're also constrained by this corporate structure or like this idea that they're these religious figures.
Yeah.
And also they're awful.
And also they're manufactured.
Yes.
Yeah. I think season two, they're going to move into that Compound V is in a pill and anyone can take it and then be superpowered for an hour and then they can punch on. Because there's zero of that in this.
Yeah, that's true.
Except for Kimiko, who's... superpowered from the get-go.
In the comics, if I remember correctly, Billy gives Huey a superpower pill and makes him superpowered and he's not on board, again, because they killed his girlfriend.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, but I mean, because this series is left on this cliffhanger that is not from the comic books. Again, they're going off script immediately with this series, where the reveal is that Butcher's wife is still alive and she's had a kid with Homelander and he's superpowered.
Yeah.
And I think the remainder of the boys might mount a rescue mission from that point forward. Like, they'll take the comp. Because otherwise, how's Butcher getting out of this one, you know?
That was interesting about this version of Homelander. Because he's raised, I can't remember whether he's in the comics, maybe he's not, but being raised in a lab, he's just insane.
Yes.
Because he's never been held or hugged. He's got weird kind of sexual fetishes because he wasn't, you know, nursed as a baby or anything that. And was that like that in the comics? Or
I can't remember.
Yeah, I can't remember either.
I'm pretty sure in the
comics. He's dumber in the comics, I feel.
Yeah, they're all dumber.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, that's, you know, that the cartoony world where it's like, if you bring any of those elements to... I think this is a surprisingly good adaptation.
Yeah, I really liked it. Yeah, I think I enjoyed it probably as much as The Tick, I would say, for different reasons entirely. Yeah.
I think I like The Tick a little bit more.
That's okay. You're allowed to. Tick also got two seasons, but no more.
Yeah.
I'll make sure of that.
Oh, no.
What I did like about Elizabeth Shue's character I liked as well. Mm-hmm. She kind of had a handle on all these superhero characters, but she obviously not powered herself until it gets out of hand and because she's just a lunatic and just burns her eyes and brain out or whatever.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that's right.
I was thinking about it on the way over here, and I'm like, Butcher just blew her up. And then I'm like, no, he lasered her eyes out.
Do you reckon they got the baby out? He probably wouldn't have. He didn't like that baby, did he?
No.
Yeah.
Is it Homelander's baby, though?
I don't think so.
Okay, just a regular baby.
Yeah.
Okay, probably not then.
Probably not, yeah. Mm. The laser baby's great, though. Yes. The laser-eyed baby. Uh-huh. Incredible. What I also liked about this is... the way that they talk about how hard superheroes are to kill, and each one of them presents a unique problem because they're all different.
Yes.
So you can't kill one the same way as another.
That's
essentially
true.
Yeah. Mm. They killed the Invisible Man, whatever his name is. What's his name? Mirage? Or
it's translucent.
By putting C4 up his ass, whatever, exploding him. But that wouldn't work on... Actually, it'd probably work on a lot of them.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I think
about
it.
If they could build some sort of C4 rectal delivery system, I think they could work on most of them, to be
honest.
Boom.
Yeah, right up there.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think Homelander's the strongest one of all of them, being the first?
I think probably... Actually, this is a good question. I think in the comic books, isn't he... He was the original, or is he and all the rest are cloned from him? Is that the case, or am I misremembering
honestly,
that?
Honestly, couldn't tell.
There's
you.
People yelling at us right now. It doesn't matter. But I think probably in that, and also I think he's had the constant dosage of the Compound V from childhood to now.
Right, okay.
I think.
Yeah.
And the rest of them just had it at childhood. They got their superpowers.
Yeah.
And now they're out in the world.
It's also one of those things where if you were presented with the opportunity to dose your kid with it and then they could live a better life.
Yeah.
It would be a thing that I'd imagine a lot of parents would consider doing.
Isn't there a chance you explode?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or you can be famous.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true.
I mean, it depends what you get.
But that's like just like in real life.
Exactly.
You can explode and you can be famous.
And you have no control. It's one or the other.
That's true.
You just don't know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It's also interesting how some of them don't manifest how you'd want. Like the Deep, who's like the Aquaman, has the weird gills. On his abdomen or whatever.
On his tum-tum.
On his tum-tum, yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, I also enjoy like the different divisions. Like you want to be in the Seven, but there's like tiers of like, you know, where does he end up?
He ends up Iowa, I think.
Iowa, yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, good on him. the fight with the Invisible Man, Translucent Boy, whatever, is good. That's a good
effect. The initial one, the first.
They're spitting blood on him and then
you
can see him. I like how they're like, he's invisible and...
Indestructible.
I guess he's indestructible. He's got two things, all right. Uh-huh. What do you bloody want from it? Would you recommend this though to people?
Yeah. 30-day free trial.
That's exactly it. I think it's definitely not for everybody. Claire and I briefly talked about it on Suggestible, our podcast.
Did you make her watch any of it?
No, I'm like, you will hate this from the get-go. Yeah. There's none of this will appeal to you.
Would she like The Tick, I wonder?
I think she might like The Tick. The Tick's more kind of...
The Tick, if we can briefly talk about The Tick.
Yeah.
The Tick's more of a background character. Having watched the entire thing at this point, two seasons only, very sad, R.I.P. The Tick. He's really just there to
Arthur's
just...
Arthur's
the main guy. Yeah. But the Tick is mostly just... And I really enjoy Peter Serafinowicz as The Tick.
Yeah. I think that's smart, though, because he's pretty much... He's a fairly one-dimensional character.
Oh, yeah,
and
sure.
I don't mean that in a negative way. I think that's what works about him.
Yeah, by
he's
design,
simple
he is.
and straightforward. And there's an element of where's he from? What's his origin? Doesn't matter.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's the boys versus the Tick. It's those two different approaches. With the boys, they went, okay, well, let's take these somewhat one-dimensional comic book characters and flesh them out for real life. Mm. And with the Tick, every version of the Tick is just, let's just get him and put him.
Yeah.
Let's get the flat 2D guy and just put him in real life.
That's all you really need.
And that's him interacting with the real world.
That suit looks really uncomfortable, doesn't it?
Yeah, every version of it.
How do you feel? I don't think season two was as strong. I think it lacked a definitive like villain. It was kind of like I won't really spoil it, but it was more like corporations or something, or like bureaucracy was the villain.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I think the Tick works best with the Terror.
Yeah,
or a Chairface Chippendale.
Yes,
which we didn't get.
No,
or
Lobstercules.
Lobstercules, or the evil Midnight Bomber, what bombs at midnight, or any of those characters. It felt to me like it was just getting started.
Yeah,
I think they were like, here we go, season two, time to stretch our wings. Mm. Let's really kind of flesh out some of this stuff in this universe. And then before they got to another major villain.
Yeah. I don't think anybody really watched it. I think it's probably getting more eyes on it now.
Well, I only watched it after. Yeah. I only watched season two after it got cancelled.
Yeah,
so.
Same. I watched the whole thing after it got cancelled. Well, because I remember they released the pilot in like 2016 and then it was maybe a clear year before the rest of the season. And I went, maybe get around to this. Uh-huh. Maybe they would have benefited from dropping it all at once, maybe.
Yeah. Going well, I mean, Griffin Newman, who is Arthur on the show, he has talked about... You know, and he was one of the first people to talk about, you know, your Netflixes and your Amazons incentivized to only release two seasons of anything because it doesn't make any more sense economically to do more seasons because it doesn't bring in more people.
Yeah.
Did the people creating it for Amazon know that at the time?
Right.
Because I think if they didn't, they could have done two really strong
and like, finished it.
Super focused seasons.
You put in kind of everything you want to see.
You put in a strong villain season one, even more stronger villain season two, and then you have the Terror. Spoiler alert for season one, he is captured at the end, and then you would have had him escape in the second one and then team up with the new villain and blah blah blah.
I don't think he's not in the second season at all, is he?
No.
But
again, I really liked the cast of characters. I like the sister, I liked Overkill, I like Miss Lint.
Overkill's great.
Overkill is good.
Yeah.
The ongoing sort of identity crisis of Superion, who is the Superman Homelander kind of character,
yes,
who can do anything, but what is he doing with his life kind of thing.
It's a very good question. What a world.
And there was a big naked man in it. So that's
what's a big naked man?
Yeah.
That was my favorite part.
Yeah.
Anyway, two good shows.
If
you had to recommend one, which would you recommend?
I would probably recommend The Tick.
Yeah, I think The Boys is more, would be easier to get into.
Do you think that?
Well, I think it's more like subverting your expectations. The Tick is weird. And I think if I had to recommend to like a friend, I would say The Boys is more Game of Thrones and The Tick is more Community, I guess, if I had to pick.
You're right. You wouldn't recommend Community over Game of Thrones.
Well, I think not to a regular person, no.
Right, okay.
Because Community, well, look, it didn't do very well, did it?
No, that's true.
It ended up on Yahoo Streaming or whatever.
Oh, no, fate was.
Yeah, I like Community. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, right.
But what I'm saying is I think The Boys is more commercially viable than
The Tick. Yeah, I guess that's probably true. But I think if I was confronted with somebody who's like, I don't like superheroes,
yeah,
change my mind somehow.
Yeah.
I think I would give him The Tick.
But you could also do that with The Boys because the show is about...
Are you being sponsored by The Boys?
Well, it should just be called I Don't Like Superheroes.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
Because that's...
Well, Garth Ennis, the creator,
yeah,
seemingly really hates them.
Yeah.
So...
And that's one of his greatest strengths.
So why not get into the comic book industry?
Yeah.
That's what I say.
Also, do you suspect that the child of Homelander, that's a consensual child?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Anyway, we'll see how that plays out in season 2 of
The Boys,
but not season 3 of The Tick.
No, RIP The Tick. Okay, but here's a question.
I'm not ready.
No, you are ready, because we stopped talking about The Boys, and then we stopped recording, and then I'm like, should we talk about what happens in season 2? So my question to you is,
okay,
I don't think you're going to be ready for this, though.
All right.
What do you think is going to happen in season 2?
Okay, I think, as mentioned, it's going to be revealed that the Homelander's child, that was a consensual relationship, an affair,
uh-huh,
as it were. I think that I'd also prefer it to go that way.
Yeah, because it's less disturbing. And again, it's a trope that's...
Yeah.
The fact that it's a... like, it should be done.
Yes.
We should stop. There's no fresh take on that.
No.
Ever, I don't think, anymore. So.
I think it's also the thing of, for the character of Billy Butcher, it's probably the worst thing he could hear.
Yeah,
because he's
true.
Driven by rage and vengeance and, you know, this violent act that he thought happened. But what if it didn't?
Yeah, that's
You know
true.
What I mean? What if he was a bad husband and,
yeah,
you know, she was an unfaithful wife? And
that happens.
That
yeah,
happened.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah. And I read yesterday that so
all your troubles seem so far away.
Exactly.
But now it looks as though
yes,
everything's still good.
Oh, nice. That's really good. All right. Good night, everyone. So in the comic books, we have the original Nazi supervillain was Stormfront, or the original Voight creation was this superman called Stormfront. And it's being and in the comic books it's a man, and in the TV show it's going to be Aya Cash, who is the female lead in You're the Worst.
Okay,
is a series
right.
I enjoy very much.
I've not seen that yet.
Yeah, well that just finished up.
So is that going to be? Is she going to be a modern day villain though?
I don't. There's no
like a terrorist because they're talking about because they bring in terrorists.
Yeah, that's true.
Villains
well, maybe.
This.
Yeah, I mean the second. So the second story arc of The Boys, I think they go to Moscow.
Yeah.
In the comic books, it's the Russia's the villain, and there's exploding supervillains and what have you. And
Voight
they create some of these supervillains with the plan that they're going to blow them up.
Right.
You know, and then you know, all the heroes are going to come in, and then the villains are going to be destroyed and blah, blah, blah. So I think we might see that. Because, again, we have those exploding supervillains, but they're going to move it to...
Yeah.
Middle East, I guess.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think maybe we'll see her in a flashback sequence.
Yeah, right.
Or, I don't know. Well, that's the thing, because what we don't have in this series necessarily is strong supervillains.
No, because they are supervillains.
The heroes are the villains, but that's the thing that we don't get. It's weird that we haven't got, like, real authentic supervillains. Like, at least on the face of it. It's weird that none.
Yeah,
of,
it's like bank robbers and.
It's bank. It's no. It's weird that we haven't, because in this universe there's supposed to be maybe 200 superheroes. Mm. It's weird that they haven't like turned any of them.
Yeah.
Like even like for marketing purposes have gone, hey, let's make you guys villains or anything like that.
But I guess that's what they end up. Well, that Homeland ends up creating for marketing purposes.
That's true. Yeah.
And I think it also would be interesting for that guy in particular. He's never been in a fight that he couldn't instantly win.
Yeah.
And then what happens when he goes up against somebody who can actually hurt him? Like, would he step up in that moment, or would he crumble with the fear of actually being in any physical danger?
That's true,
yeah.
We don't know. We don't even know if he can feel pain.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we do have those supervillains. We're talking about the laser baby.
Mm.
That the laser baby is being kept in a...
Laser baby cot.
Laser baby cot.
Yeah.
But the lasers are being absorbed by the the cot.
Yes.
So I'm wondering if we're going to bring in some sort of, I think maybe there needs to be some sort of a leveling of the playing field.
Right.
Obviously, but I, you know,
everyone gets a laser baby.
Everybody gets a laser baby.
A holstered laser baby.
Holstered laser baby and like a laser baby proof shield.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah.
Like Captain America.
Like Captain America, exactly. Yeah, exactly what he's packing.
So what do you mean by leveling the...
Well, I don't know. I think we need... Yeah, I think you're right in that we need Homelander to come up against some people that he's...
And whether that even be the boys.
Yeah, right.
One of them gets superpowered enough to be able to break his nose or whatever. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But I guess because if they've got Starlight, I guess they've got one.
Yeah.
And Kimiko as well, actually. They've got a couple that are superpowered, but against, like, all of them, it's not.
No.
It's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Anyway, that's the boys.
That's the boys.
There's a couple of boys here.
Yes.
Done talking about the bloody...
Talking about the boys.
Boys, and also the tick, briefly.
Yes. R.I.P. the tick.
Rip tick.
Yeah, rip tick.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Oh, my God. That's what a great, we're up to. What a great segment on the boys we just recorded.
Absolutely, Mason.
Mm-hmm.
All in all, whatever we said about it, but that holds true.
We stand by it.
Yeah.
Because we just said it.
Hobbs and Shaw, 60 million US opening, which is okay.
That seems
okay.
You've
got to look at it this way, because Fate of the Furious, the last one, made 98 million in its first weekend.
Mm-hmm.
The best ever was Fast 7 with 147, but they were crushing it. They were hot off the back of Paul Walker's death. So
oh boy.
That was flying high.
Yeah,
I know that sounds very grim, but that's exactly what happened.
Well, yeah, that's true.
Because people are like, how is this going to work at all, if at all? And it does, for the most part.
Mm.
It's also the lowest since Tokyo Drift.
Oh.
But also you got to think about, like, it's a spin-off and all those other things.
That's
and
true.
Do people want to see Hobbs and or Shaw? Who knows? It depends, I guess, what you think the story was.
Oh, no! All right. Okay, this is a virus. Virus is going to kill everybody.
Yep.
Everybody's going to be dead and they won't be able to steal DVD players anymore. Because that's what this series has become. It started out, once again, people stealing DVD players, and now...
It was stealing DVD players, then it was CGI cars racing nowhere to nothing,
mm-hmm.
and then they went to Tokyo,
yep.
and then they bought the original two back, but it was nothing,
yep.
and then five was good. Is that the series?
That's pretty much the series, yeah.
yeah. Uh-huh.
But now there's a virus. They're going to destroy, kill everybody in the world, but if the bad guys get it, and who's going to stop them is Hobbs and Shaw. They're back. But they don't want to work together. They work different ways because one does a big punch and one does a series of smaller punches. That's their difference.
One's finesse.
The other one's a big punch.
They're both bald.
They're both a couple of baldies.
Most of the people in the Fast and Furious movies are bald.
That's true.
Yeah.
So they get their power.
I think so.
Mm.
Opposite of Samson?
Yep, exactly.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah.
Imagine if they all grew out their hair. I would love that. Can you imagine if they all grew out their hair?
Oh, my God.
Could somebody Photoshop that? And I don't mean just put long hair on them. What would balding men in their 40s to 50s all look like?
Well, we recently saw, and we didn't mention it in the video when we recorded it. We just saw the 2003 Italian Job, which has Jason Statham when he still had some hair.
Yeah.
He's done miracles for bald men.
He really has.
Yeah, because he's shaved it all off. He committed to it and he looks great.
He does. He's got a head like an anvil.
He's got the wearing the turtleneck. He looks like a little eggy in an egg cup, you know?
He does. Yeah. He really does. Here's a question for you.
Yes.
With Hobbs and Shaw.
Yep.
What are their jobs? What do they do? What are their skills again? Who does who work for?
Okay, so I think Hobbs, who is the Rock.
Yes.
He works for the DSS, which I think is like some sort of FBI situation. Like it's some vague.
But he also
investigates auto crimes, I guess. But when he flexed his cast off in Furious 7, maybe he also quit that at the time. I don't know.
Did he ever throw in his badge? He must have
thrown in his badge. I feel like he probably would have, yeah.
But he
threw it at a desk and the desk snapped in half comically.
Yes. And
he works for the CIA.
But he also went to prison.
Oh, yeah. But did he
did
get
he
exonerated?
Throw in his badge then?
Yeah.
He did get exonerated.
That's how he escaped the prison. He just threw his badge at the ground. The prison collapsed.
So because I'm watching this, I'm like, maybe I should have done some research, but it took me a while to be like, who works for who and what?
Okay, and Statham. Sure, Statham used to work for used to be in the SAS, and then he turned to crime. Maybe
he was doing crimes and killing people in one movie. He fought Vin Diesel with a wrench or something.
Yeah,
and then Vin Diesel stomped the car park, and they all fell down.
Let's work this out on air. did he kill Han or not?
Yeah,
he did kill Han, but has that happened yet? Because Tokyo
that
Drift
has happened, yes.
So that was in the Tokyo Drift came out, that was set in the future.
Yes.
That future has come to pass since then.
That was the end of six.
Okay.
No. Five.
Here's the problem with these movies. Here's the problem is that each one of these movies introduces new characters that have a history with the main characters.
Yeah.
But we've never seen them before, and they're never quite properly explained. This movie does it as well.
But also, or have we?
Exactly, yeah. This movie does it as well. They're like, okay, so I think this is in the trailer, but the villain of this piece is Brixton Law, played by Idris Elba, who has a dark past with one of the boys.
Yeah. He's also, again, playing a weirdly enhanced man, like in Star Trek.
That's true, yeah. But and this adds to his incredible list of
being a weirdly enhanced man?
Weirdly enhanced man with a weirdly enhanced name.
Yeah.
So he's Brixton Law, he's been Stryker Pentecost.
Oh, yeah. Shore and Law. I didn't think about that even for a second.
Oh, that's the next team up, Shore and Law.
Shore and Law. Well, yeah, who cares about spoilers in a way? But there's a couple of cameos that you probably don't want to know going in, and we won't spoil the ending. Where
we'll talk about them later. We'll talk about them in spoilers later. But yeah, this movie, I read an article that said basically this movie was built from the ground up to have spin-offs off the spin-off.
Yeah.
And this movie was clearly we're building the team for the next one. I felt that was a problem with this movie, is it's less a movie on its own and more, here's some people you're going to see next time. Aren't you excited for this?
Yeah.
Not really. Maybe. Some of them. Not all of them. A couple of them.
I thought it was fine.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's bad. I don't think it's the worst Fast and Furious movie, because that's probably two.
Yes.
Maybe.
I think it's two.
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But it's the best part of this is, for me, first of all, it's like 20 minutes too long.
Okay. That's the best part for you?
That's the best part.
Oh, in the theater, you're like, oh my God, I'm loving this. Everybody's checking their watch, looking at their phone. You're like, I'm needing to pee. And you're like, oh my God, this is so good. Sucked in everyone.
Just the Bad Boys 2. Yeah. Not as bad, but there's a final act. But I also knew that was coming because the trailer reveals all of that. They all go to Samoa at the end or whatever for a big old punch up. But the action scenes are good for the most part, but I really like the Jason Statham, The Rock combination of just yelling at each other.
Here's the thing, though, that I think you're right. There are some good individual scenes to this, but I don't think cohesively it makes necessarily a great movie.
Sure.
And I think I said this to you recently. I kept watching this expecting like the magic to take over. Like, oh my God, it's Hobbs. And sure, it's The Rock and Statham, and they're going to work together, and it's going to be so much fun, them just teaming up. And it never really was that much fun.
I think I enjoyed their team up in the last movie more, if that did happen in the last movie. Because they go to prison together, and then they insult each other, and they're doing bicep curls with the stone bench or whatever in prison. And
then
there's the baby bit. The baby bit is still the best bit.
The baby bit is the best bit, and I don't think anything in this movie lives up to that scene in Fast 8.
Some good stuff in this, though, because the director of this, David Leitch, who did John Wick, Deadpool 2, so he knows how to do action stuff, but I think it is a little CGI people standing on a CGI car.
It's a little plasticky, I thought. Yeah.
In parts.
Yeah, well, okay, so there's an action sequence. There's a chase scene.
It's
towards the start. And I remember it being pretty good, the first car chase in London or wherever it is.
Yeah.
What's the only thing you remember from it, though? It's the bit where they go under the truck. It's in the trailer.
Oh,
where the car goes under the truck.
Yeah.
And the motorcycle goes under the truck. That's it. That's all I remember from it.
Okay.
And that's not a real bit.
Yeah.
They didn't actually fling a car under a motorcycle.
Okay. I did not like Idris Elba's magic motorbike.
Okay.
That could just.
So Idris Elba, for people that
talk to, and it could transform.
That's his Knight Rider car.
Yeah, I saw his Hot Wigs. I saw his Hot Wigs interview.
Yeah.
If he said that in that even.
No, he did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
That's how they sold it to him. He's like, what am I doing in this? And they're like, it's Knight Rider.
Yeah.
You're Knight Rider.
He's like, I hate Knight Rider. And like, everybody hates Knight Rider, right? We know. You're going to do it or not.
Fine. So you hated his magic motorcycle. Because it's a weird shape-changing
motorcycle.
I just
don't think it fits in. Isn't this supposed to be about real cars or something?
Nope. This one is not about real cars. This one's about springy motorcycles, and it's about the McLaren.
No, it is about the McLaren.
We're driving a McLaren.
Sometimes there's
Don't
an old McLaren, is there sometimes?
No, there's only new McLarens.
Okay.
But I don't know if we've ever seen this before in these movies, but you know how there's always, when somebody's really about to like put the hammer down and really peel off in their car,
yeah,
it's always like, you see that mini montage of like steering wheel, accelerator, gear shift. Yeah. Wheel spinning fast, and then they go off. This one has that. It has gear change, wheel spinning, accelerator, clutch, McLaren logo.
Yeah,
like they put it in there.
Yeah.
It's not even like spinning wheel and you can see the logo. It's just like...
just McLaren.
In this
it should just be a guy going, McLaren.
Which fascinates me, because this is obviously... and they're a cool car, obviously. But this branding is, and this marketing is... for people who are so rich they can afford a McLaren, but they are so dumb that they can't look it up later. They have to be told what it is in the movie.
It's the rich kids of Instagram.
They can't Google car in Hobbs Shaw.
Well, I didn't know it was. I couldn't tell you if it was a McLaren. I'm not a cars guy, probably why. Uh-huh. You're more of a cars guy than me. But I knew there was a car.
Right.
It could have said Ford. It could have said Mitsubishi hatchback. I don't know. The car stunts in this, I feel, aren't as spectacular because they feel false, a lot of it.
Yeah.
Especially towards the end where they hook four together.
They hook four, yeah.
Seemingly by magic.
Yes, exactly, yeah.
But yeah. Mm-hmm. So Idris Elba, he's got a magic...
That looked like a video game cutscene.
Yeah, it really did.
It really did, yeah.
He's got a magic motorbike. He's got a magic spine that they zip up after they put his powers into him.
He's got a magic heads up display in his head.
Yes.
That can see punches coming in.
Unless you rattle him on the back of the head.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he also has missing some bottom teeth because he's got metal teeth. And I think that's where Jason Statham once shot him through the head to kill him.
Right.
He was way off though. He missed him by a lot. Like, he's like, I shot him through the brain. No, you didn't.
You hit him in the
teeth. Shot him in the teeth.
You're not as good as this as you think you are, Statham.
But the most interesting thing about this movie to me is the Wall Street Journal article that came
as a result of it,
which we've got a video on this week. But where is that at? Do you want to explain that?
So there was a Wall Street Journal article this week. We're very learned about the contractual obligations of famous movie actors in fist fights in movies.
In particular, Fast and Furious.
Fast and Furious, where apparently they put in their contracts that they can only be beaten up in very limited ways. They can't lose fights in certain situations. They can't be punched more than the other guy.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing, and like is
the,
what it is.
The fights have to end in a stalemate.
Yeah.
Or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And to me, it's the most interesting action heroes aren't the ones where they draw at the end.
No, absolutely not.
Or they punch each other the exact same amount of times. Like, for example, Indiana Jones. He mostly gets beaten up.
Yeah, exactly.
But the interesting thing is that he keeps coming back.
Exactly. It's the tenacity.
Yeah. It's the John McClane before Four.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, exactly. Like the king of the modern day action movie is the original John McClane. And in that first Die Hard, He's in a bad state from minute one.
Yeah.
He's
got no shoes.
He doesn't have a proper shirt on.
Do you reckon he's got a contract now? It's like, I have to wear shoes in every movie. Bruce
I think Willis. The contract I think his contract now is, I'll wear whatever clothes I was wearing when I came in, and I'll look it directly into a camera and say the words, and then I'll leave
I'll say whatever I want.
And you can build a movie around that.
Yeah. So you could just be like,
I don't want to be here making this movie.
Yeah.
And they've got to build
What's
a movie.
What's it about? A bank vault? And that's it.
Yeah.
I think he's in a movie called Safe, isn't he?
Probably, yeah.
But it might be about being safe.
Sure.
Or school safety.
Yeah.
Do you want to do spoilers?
Sure. Hang on. Do we have anything else? Look, I think there's some... And speaking of, Vanessa Kirby's great in this, I think.
She is really good. And my favourite action scene is the first one with her...
And The Rock?
And that is good, actually. That one is really good.
Uh-huh.
But the bit where she steals the virus.
Yeah, right.
And then she gets in the truck and you've seen it.
I have seen it. I've seen it.
And she's really good, but apparently, and I can't remember who I heard this from. It might have been Charlie Clausen, but I don't know.
It's not in the article. This is
separately.
Film clickbait.
Yes. That Statham really liked one of her action scenes, so he went, I'm doing that one.
Right.
And I don't know what it is.
He has some sort of veto power about it. Yeah, right.
I think there's a scene also in the trailer where they're in a corridor together and The Rock has to fight a big guy and Statham fights a bunch of regular-sized guys.
Because they've got to work to their strengths.
That's
one big punch.
Yeah,
a series of little punches.
That's true, actually. Mm. I think that scene is good I mean, the choreography is good, but that's more a fun scene than a spectacular action scene. It's more kind of humorous than it is. There is a lot of good stuff in this movie. I feel like I've been negative on it. But I think all in all, I did enjoy it.
Look, I think so as well, but I think it needs a tweak so that it feels like these characters are more in peril.
Okay.
Again, as is in the trailer, there's a scene where Brixton Law and his henchmen, they're leaping off a building.
Yep.
And The Rock just leaps up. Like, they're on the indestructible super cyber soldier is on a cable, so he doesn't die.
Yeah.
But The Rock just leaps out of the building.
And jumps man to man.
Man to man, 50 exactly. 50 feet at a time. Like,
it's one of those universes where if you crash into a car roof, you may as well be on a trampoline.
Right, exactly, like,
you're fine.
Yeah.
You're absolutely fine.
But that's like, there's no... And that's the thing.
And I know that's these movies, though.
And if it was a superhero movie, if it was Captain America doing that, I'd be like, okay, well, he's gonna... But even that, like, if Captain America leaps off a roof and he lands on his shield, it's an indestructible shield, but it's still gonna hurt. Remember Winter Soldier?
And it's also a magic universe where it absorbs the whatever. Yeah.
But even he gets... A superhuman man gets beaten up more than these guys do.
Yeah.
And this allegedly is in a universe in a world of dangerous street racing. You know?
Oh, yeah, that's
and
what nothing. It's about.
Yeah, exactly.
They've got race wars.
But nobody that's what is. Called, yeah, no, I remember. They have race wars. Yeah, I get it. Yeah. But nobody is getting a scratch in these movies. Yeah. They're getting the very superficial, like, little scuffs on their faces.
Yeah.
You know?
But I still think, all in all, I think it's a mostly good collection of action scenes and funny moments between Statham and The Rock and Statham's sister.
Yeah, right,
as well. Uh-huh. I think it's good for the most part.
Okay,
yeah.
I think you like the banter more than I did.
That's probably true.
But I think it's I don't know. I think that they need. This movie needs some tweaks.
Yeah.
I don't know. The sequel needs some tweaks. But it's more like, I'm gonna hit your head so far up your bum's gonna have a head in it. Like, that's not...
No, not that exactly. Those insults, maybe not as much, but just their general interactions I enjoy.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's true.
Yeah, if that makes sense. Yeah. I'm gonna say best movie ever.
I'm gonna say best movie ever. Yeah. It's kind of grudging. Also, the opening sequence is kind of like... It's a split screen as you see their different lives as they wake up. And, like, The Rock gets up and he cracks some eggs in a glass and he just drinks a glass of eggs.
Mm.
And Jason Statham, this, oh my God, he's such a rebel. He just makes a little omelette.
I feel like that's a retcon. Is that a retcon for that character? I thought he was like a grimy, like, British thug. Well, he's making omelettes in a clean-cut apartment.
Well, that's... But I'm gonna...
Is that what he's always been?
But that's the thing. Like, that's not enough of a difference in their lives. Like, if he'd woken up and, like, you know, just glass of vodka, like, by the bedside or whatever.
Well,
he drinks it from the bottle.
He pulls a beer.
Nah.
It's not the same, is it?
No, but it looks like it's, like, 10 a.m. or whatever.
Yeah,
that's
right. Yeah, and he's in a suit, isn't he?
And he wakes up, also in that, he wakes up with, like, a woman in the bed who we never see again.
Yeah.
Doesn't make her an omelette. Rude.
That is true.
It's rude.
Also, I think
unless
it would
she's
be...
dead. She might be dead.
Yeah, that's a good point. She might be dead.
I didn't factor that in. Maybe he is a bad boy after all.
Yeah. I think if you wanted to make this movie more realistic, they would wake up and the montage would just be The Rock is in the gym for 4 hours.
Yeah.
Like, that would be while Statham's being clean or whatever his character is about.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, The Rock's a family man in this. I'm sure we probably... Do we know that?
His daughter encourages him to get out of hospital and he breaks the cast.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
In whatever movie that's in.
Yeah, cool.
He heals his arm through busting out of a cast.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's do spoilers.
Is that the last time he was injured? I mean, he's injured in this because they fight a Superman or whatever.
Yeah, but vaguely.
Yeah,
you know
vaguely.
What I mean?
You're right, yeah. Spoilers. Ryan Reynolds is in this and so is Rob Delaney. Both from Deadpool 2. Both directed by David Leitch. Yeah.
And I get the sense that... And again, we get this unexplored backstory between Ryan Reynolds and...
Did you say all the way for the credits?
Yep. Mm. There's a lot of post-credits stuff in this.
I left at some point. Okay, I Googled it and went, yep, I read it.
That's okay, cool, right. Yeah. Nice. Yeah, there's a lot of unexplained backstory. Mm. And to some degree, I enjoy that. But I also...
It's feel like you're opening a book halfway through.
Exactly. And the next one, you know, the Etion, which is the corporation that wants to end the world and blah, blah, blah. There's a mysterious voice. And who is it? And it's just going to be some guy we don't know.
Yeah, I think it's going to be... Yeah, I don't think it's going to be... They'll get an actor.
Yeah, well, see, that's the thing.
They'll be like, it's fucking the Walter White guy or whatever.
That's the problem with... And I guess that's what I was getting at earlier, is that the reveal isn't plot-based, it's just celebrity-based.
Yes.
Like, remember when they defeated Luke Evans at the end of 7 or 6 or whichever one it was?
It doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. But at the end, they're like, but someone's out for revenge. It's Jason Statham.
Yeah.
It's not a character we knew from previously. Like, it wouldn't make any sense, but if it was revealed that the leader of this was Han...
Yeah, right.
At least that would make sense, because he'd be out for revenge.
Could be Luke Evans.
Could it be Luke Evans?
He's in a coma. Right. So, yes.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I guess
and
it could
like,
be.
He's like, I thought we were brothers. And he's like, I've got a new brother, this giant egg-shaped man.
Because that's
Is
true.
Is that Vin Diesel or The Rock I'm talking about?
The,
doesn't matter.
The voice goes, don't you remember me, Hobbs? So it's somebody from Hobbs's past.
Well, it could be still Luke Evans.
I guess it could still. But then wouldn't it be like, don't you remember me, Hobbs? It's your mate's brother. It's me. It's your brother, sure. Sure, it's me. I'm also a sure, I guess. But, you know, and then it's like, oh, it's bloody Helen Mirren's in this or whatever. So the next reveal is just going to be, it's another name actor.
Yeah, you're right.
Which doesn't, like, if you could, but that, like, you know, when we talk, you know, because these are way more in common with superhero movies now than they are.
100%.
Racing movies or heist movies or whatever.
There's like, barely a race war in sight.
Exactly. But, like, if you think about Infinity War, they go to the planet to get the Soul Stone and the Red Skull's there. And we all go, oh, my God, it's the, remember from, like, 10 movies ago. Remember the Red Skull kind of thing? But this is just like, yeah, it's bloody, it's going to be some guy.
Yeah, it will be just some guy.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think who it's going to be. Mm-hmm. Dave Bautista. Though he hates these movies. I think he was like, I hate these. I'll never be in one.
Well, they'll give him $50 million.
Yeah,
he'll do it
anyway.
Anyway, Rob Delaney and... See, that's the thing. Like, I feel like this is...
Ronda Rousey. She was in these, but she fought someone else. Yeah, she fought...
She was in 7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or 6.
Yeah. No, she was definitely in 7.
Maybe.
Because she's the bodyguard in the in the building of the when they crashed the car through the... In between,
and that was 7.
That was 7.
Because I, that no, was I believe the scenario, but I don't know what movie is what.
Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah. So like the thing about this movie is that they were clearly like, hey, you like Ryan Reynolds and The Rock teaming up? Bit of tease of that. Now let's do it in the next one.
Yeah. Also, Ryan Reynolds is an action guy in this as well. He's not just
seems like he kills a lot of people in the in the
hallway.
Did you stay for that?
I saw the hallway bit.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. He beats up like he's clearly beaten up like 30 guys.
Yeah.
So that's fun.
It's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool.
He's just doing Deadpool, isn't he?
Pretty much, yeah.
That's fine, though. That's right? His strength. That's what he does.
But I would like to see, I think their name's a Locke and Loeb.
Oh, those two. I like the Rob Delaney.
Rob Delaney. Yeah, I'd team them up.
I'd see that movie.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
Because also they're normal-sized men with normal-sized heads.
They're normal-sized men, and they... Rob Delaney doesn't mind, like...
He'll do anything.
He'll do anything. He'll cop a punch for real, I imagine.
Definitely. I did like that line where he said, I met Shaw before he beat me up in a bar, but he doesn't remember.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed that, yeah.
Oh, and he's the air marshal. What's his name?
Oh, yeah, Kevin Hart's in
Kevin Hart's in this, yeah.
Who cares?
Kevin Hart fans. I think he was more tolerable, than in previous things that I've seen him in.
Yeah. Now, I went to the toilet during this movie, Mason.
Okay.
And I asked you this the other day, but Kevin Hart does get back on the... He does return, doesn't he, to give him the plane?
He doesn't return in person. Yeah. They talk to him on the... Oh, yeah, they don't see him again in person.
Yeah.
He's in the bathroom and he's on the phone and he says like, hey, I'll get you those tickets to Samoa.
Yeah. Because I knew that was a good time to leave because I'm like... Oh, they're just going to bring Kevin Hart back. I can go to the toilet for this. And I did.
Yeah.
It's the staple of my movie-going experience.
Waiting for Kevin Hart taking it to the toilet.
Yeah, that's right.
I went to the toilet when Kevin Hart went to the toilet. Isn't that fun?
Is that what he did?
Yeah, he was in the toilet.
I didn't say it because I was in the... I didn't
that's
say
perfect.
It.
That's serendipity right there.
Isn't it just?
Yeah.
I like the bit where, at the end, when Brixton is defeated, Brixton Baxton, whatever his name is, and The Rock's like,
we're going to use teamwork. We're going to work as a team.
Yeah, work as a team, you dumbasses. But he's like, you may have a magic spine that they zip you up in your back with, but we've got heart or whatever. Okay.
Yeah. But also, like, they didn't factor that in. They weren't like, we'll make you the ultimate super soldier, but if two people fire you once, you are in trouble, mister. So if you could fight them, if you could fight people in a line, old school.
Because I guess is he as durable as a regular man?
He seems more durable.
But
I mean, he's got those durable front teeth.
But why is he more durable?
Because of that spine.
But not
I don't know,
his,
internal
his
bits.
Bones aren't, are they?
I don't know.
Like he's talking about step in whatever.
If he's more resilient than The Rock and Jason Statham, he's completely indestructible.
Tell me you want to be the first augmented man. That would be terrible.
It really
You'd be
would.
The worst. It's like if you had now the first iPhone. It'd be garbage.
Well, you got the first one and you're restricted to it forever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, wow, yeah. That's probably true. When I was a kid, I always wanted, like, you know, the bionic arms and all that sort of stuff and all the cyborg whatevers. But now, these days, I'm like, they'd be filled with, like, ads.
Definitely.
You'd have to have a you'd have to have an always-on internet service, so you'd be driving and you'd go through a tunnel and your arms would stop working because the signal stopped. And you'd be like, oh, no. And you'd forget to, like, your credit card would expire and then you'd wake up and you'd have ads running in your eyes.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Or you'd be dead.
You'd be dead, exactly, yeah. Yeah.
You'd just die.
Mm.
Anyway, it's a movie. They made it, didn't they?
They sure did.
You know what it's time for?
What's it time for?
What are we reading?
Oh, what are we going to read?
I'm doing a thing. What are we reading today? You're never going to believe what I watched myself.
What'd you watch?
I watched Jumper from 2008.
Why'd you do that?
It was just on streaming, and I needed something to watch while I edited. And it's good, man. It's fine. It's like, it's Hayden Christensen is not a good actor in this or the Star Wars movies, but he's a good actor in other things.
Like what things? I feel I ask
Shattered Glass every time, every single Ed time. And Life is a House.
Okay,
but it's pretty fun. It's a fun premise of a guy who can. Everyone's seen Jumper or
not. Why did I have Jumper at the time? Did I have Jumper at the time?
Because it's not very good.
Oh, right. But it's worth watching on streaming.
It's got Samuel L. Jackson as a guy who hates jumpers.
Update. Netflix.
Billy Elliot's in it. He's really fun in
Netflix
it.
Netflix taking things that I want to watch off Netflix. Update.
Yeah.
Before I sat down and Hobbs and Shaw, and I went, oh, you know what? I'm going to rewatch Fast 8 when I get home. So I went to the Netflix app on my phone and I looked and I searched for Fast 8 and it was in there. It's the first result.
Yeah.
And then I went home and it was gone. Like, they took it away. Like, it's like they knew I was watching. Why would you take them down now? They took all the Fast and Furious movies off. Why would you do it? There's a new one coming out. People are going to watch them.
But I think that's why people. If I watched four in a row, I would not, and I didn't have to, wouldn't see the new one. Would you?
Interesting.
Would you?
But I don't think that's how it works. Yeah, but I also think that these movies are based on people getting fired up for Fast and Furious, La Familia.
Know, but they all blend together, don't they?
I guess they probably do. I mean, I won't know because they're not on there anymore, so I can't check. What am I going to do, pay for a Fast and Furious movie?
Unlikely. What are you reading?
I started watching. There's a new season of Dear White People on Netflix.
Oh, I've never seen that.
It's
good?
A good show. Yeah, I've heard it's good a good things. Show, man.
Mm. What would you give it out of 110?
I'm laughing and I'm learning. Out of 110.
Yeah.
105.
Wow, that's really good.
Pretty good.
What
right?
does it fall down? I don't want to know what you like about it.
Right.
I want to know about the very specific things you don't. I mean, some shows just aren't 110, are they?
Yeah, I think maybe the recap didn't cover everything that happened prior, so I was a little bit lost.
That's
initially.
5 points?
Yeah, that's five that's points. Brutal, out of 110, Mason. That's not so
well,
bad.
Well, whoever put that together needs to, you exactly. should be fired.
Maybe I'm rating the, maybe 110 for the show.
Okay, zero for the recap.
No, 80 for the recap. It was a pretty solid recap.
Okay, it's still 30 short is that's what true. I'm saying. Yeah, well, those are the things we're reading, isn't it? I mean, you know, I have a podcast all about things that I was looking at. It's called Suggestible.
Yes.
You're not in it.
Huh. But you, intriguing.
You can come along.
Oh, yeah.
You should come on it, Mason.
I will.
Are you busy?
Well, I haven't read or seen anything
Wednesdays?
Recently. You record Wednesdays?
Yeah.
Wednesday day or Wednesday night?
It doesn't matter, Mason. You don't have to be on it. You can just live my life? You can just live your life.
I guess I could just listen to it.
Yeah.
And then I could give my opinions to you in person later.
You just tell me what you're doing and reading.
Yeah, it's true, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I might just delve into my comics because I also like to...
There's a new Jimmy Olsen, the first issue of Jimmy Olsen is out.
Oh,
I haven't read it yet, but
fantastic.
I'm excited for that because I love
Jimmy
Olsen.
Because that's Matt Fraction, right?
Yes.
Excellent. I read House of X.
Oh, yeah. There's a new... So this is Jonathan Hickman.
Yeah.
Who is kind of the...
I don't know.
A great Fantastic Four run a few years ago.
Yes.
That was super good. He's a big ideas man.
A lot of that I'm like, I don't know... I haven't read any X-Men in so long. So, like, Professor X is maybe also Cerebro or something. He's wearing a big, dumb helmet with an
There's
X.
There's been a lot of changes recently that I cannot recall.
But I still enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of characters have died and come back.
Yeah.
Cyclops was leading some sort of mutant rebellion for a while, and then he died, and I think he's back now as well.
That's right.
But this one is the new mutant status quo, but then it's also 100 years in the future or... 1,000 years in the future?
All of that is entirely possible.
Okay, then.
Or
terrific.
Impossible.
Okay, right.
Also, the Batman Who Laughs wraps up where Batman gets injected with the serum that turns him into the evil Joker Batman.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
And that wraps up. That wrapped up issue 7. I think it's a pretty bloody solid run on a Batman who's slowly losing his sanity, who has to fight a guy who is like the result of what will happen when the virus fully kicks in.
I see.
Yeah. And it's also a result of all that, you know, that Batman, there's too many Batmans in all the different dimensions.
Dark Knight's metal, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it's less confusing.
Okay, good.
So you only really need, you only really need to know the Grim Knight, who's Batman with guns.
Yeah.
He's the Punisher, and the Batman who laughs, who's the Joker, right. Batman. That's
mm-hmm. it. They were kind of not my favorite versions of those Batman, so it's interesting.
What did you like? Which ones did you like?
I can't remember.
Yeah, that's good.
They've also immediately disappeared out of my brain, so wow. They can't have been that memorable.
Such wonderful characters.
Right.
Yeah.
Maybe a Batman, but he's also, he's as an ice cream van.
Maybe he's a duck.
Yeah. Ooh.
He's Duck Man.
Ooh.
What are we reading? Are we Mason? No, the next one? The
letters. Letters we're I'll do letters.
Are letters we're reading?
Yes. It's loading.
The classic one was letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away. I know they're here right now, we're going to do letters.
Side note before I forget, a friend of the show, Fergal Quigley, finally created the number one Party Boy Nick Mason t-shirt.
Finally.
So that's on my Instagram.
Oh, excellent.
If you want to track that down, that's a real thing you can buy.
Purchase a copy of.
To go with the James I'm Fine ? T-shirt.
What a combination.
Oh my God.
You'll be the hit of a party.
Go
to a
party.
And by that I mean you'll have to explain it.
Every time.
And just, people will be like, what?
Oh my God. The perfect couple's costume, let me tell you. Just your regular selves with t-shirts, with two guys nobody else knows. Oh, so good.
If you do want to reach the show, hashtag weeklyplanetpod on Twitter or weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com. Shoot a bloody Gmail over on your bloody email or Gmail to Mason's Gmail. And he'll answer and look
Thank
at
you.
Those Gmails.
I don't have one yet, but I'll find
okay,
one.
Okay, well, while you're doing that, I can do this from Adam. I thought this would be an interesting one for you because you read a lot of comics when you were a kid. But my four-year-old is getting very interested in my comics. What are some age-appropriate, if any, ones that I can read to him? Any Marvel or DC arcs or one-shots appropriate? Can't think of any. Hashtag Weekly Planet.
Is that from Adam?
Yes.
Because this is also from Adam. He says, my son is 5 and becoming very curious about my Marvel Comics collection. So maybe he's at a birthday.
Going on
in the middle, or is he a fake kid? That's the question.
This sounds like somebody who just wants to read a bunch of kids' comics. That's what
yeah,
I think.
Yeah.
But no, that's an interesting age because comics are... Well, I do storybooks with my kid.
Yep.
There's Marvel storybooks and Star Wars storybooks, which he just gravitates towards them. I don't like... I get given them and he finds them on the shelf and he's like...
Right.
Today he brought me in the Golden Book version of Star Wars. Was Attack of the Clones. And I'm like, this is the worst one. What are you bringing me this for?
Yeah, wow.
I yelled at him for 45 minutes, Mason.
Incredible. So you went easy on him, because normally that would go longer.
What did you read when you were a kid, though? Were you reading Archie and Garfield, or what are you reading? Your reading comprehension is not great.
Yeah, also, no, that's so true.
It needs to be read. You need to be read too, really.
Yeah,
that age,
right.
Yeah.
I don't think I was read any... I don't think any comics were read to me as a child. I think I just jumped straight in.
Yeah.
And I think, again, the first comic I ever read, I think it was a Spider-Man where the Hobgoblin was introduced. So that was pretty grim.
That's confusing.
Yeah. The front cover is the Spider-Man costume being torn in twain by the Hobgoblin.
Oh, Hobgoblin.
Yeah.
He has to sew that back up.
I know, right. And also a really, really confusing Superman comic book, which was like 10 Superman stories, one of which had Superman in it, but it was increasingly, Superman stories set increasingly further into the future.
Oh, right.
Like thousands of years.
Yeah.
And I didn't even know who Superman was at the time.
Was that a good comic, though, like by today's standards?
Yeah.
Who did that one?
I can't remember.
Yeah. That's not an Alan Moore one, is it?
No.
I remember you talking about that.
It was like an anthology issue.
And the one in the very far future can't get into the Fortress of Solitude because...
No, that's a different thing.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a different thing.
You didn't let me finish. fair enough. So I'd say storybooks, but I remember I read one a while back. There's a Chewbacca, it's like 4-issue run, and people don't consider it a great Star Wars comic.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's also, because it's about Chewbacca and he rescues like a kid and like a bunch of orphans and stuff.
Yeah, right.
And people are like, it's a crap Star Wars comic or whatever, but I think it... First of all, I don't think it's crap, but also I think it works well as a kid's comic, like a little, you know, kids know and like Chewbacca. It's like a little Chewbacca adventure. So it's like it's in the new run of Star Wars comics.
Yeah, right.
Like whatever it's called.
Marvel like a very, I think it only comes out every once in a while, but it's like a Marvel, it's like Marvel Junior Adventures or something like that. And they're kind of like little Marvel superheroes kind of thing. And they're very kind of simple storylines. Maybe they're
like Muppet Babies.
Yeah, well, not really, because they're like, They're like little in scale, but they go on regular adventures.
Okay.
They're not like little, they're just like little sized versions.
Okay, cool. Yeah. That's
fine. I think
fine,
I read one when I was on Andrew Levin's podcast series issues.
Yeah, right.
I read one of those. And
they're
kind of fun, and they're kind of like, I'll try and think of the name and I'll tweet it out if I remember, but it's kind of like, and they're kind of built like, you know, like old school comic books where they have like, they'll also have like little mazes and little fun things to do. And it's kind of like a nod and a wink to the parents, but it's also like fun stories for the kids.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, I think when I was a kid, I did read like Richie Rich comics and stuff like that. Yeah. They're very simple.
I read a lot of Garfield when I was a kid.
Yeah.
A lot of Snake Tales.
Sure.
If you want to see a snake with boobs, Snake Tales,
Snake Tales
is the comic for you.
Yep. Foot Trot Flats.
Yeah, I read a lot of that as well.
Mm, yeah.
What a world.
What a world we live in.
Mm. For good or ill. Mostly ill.
Mostly
I would
ill,
say.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, so I just brought that comic up, and it is, it's called Star Wars Chewbacca. It's by Jerry Duggan and art by Phil Noto. Oh, I think he's doing the current Star Wars run, though I might be wrong. Oh. But he's done a bunch of other Star Wars stuff.
There's an email from Aaron.
Yeah.
Yes. Ask James if he saw the cow in the movie Twister.
What? No, I didn't. What?
That's intriguing.
Should I rewatch it?
Yeah, you should. I think maybe I'll see it. Yeah.
So
this is from Colton. Cole Nutter. Good name.
Mm-hmm.
Hot scuba shot of poop about Lord of the Rings Amazon show.
Okay.
Edinburgh in Scotland has had announcements in the paper preparing them for a big Amazon show filming there that has also called for extras. Consensus is it's the Lord of the Rings show. Right. Do we know that already?
I don't believe so. I just assumed it was going to be in New Zealand.
But, there you go. Might be in Scotland.
Wasn't there some weird New Zealand filming rights thing that happened, or pay disputes and unions and shit?
That is correct.
Lindsay Ellis did the Hobbit.
The video on it. Yeah, sure.
Uh-huh. So that's probably. Maybe
New Zealand is out. Maybe they're like, never again.
Mm. That's interesting. Mm. Did you see that trailer for the Lord of the Rings TV series? But it was more like the creators involved with it and they go through the entire team.
Nope.
It's a really good team. And I can't name any of them off the top of my head, but there's some really good creative people behind it. And I think it could be something pretty good or whatever. But nice. Good maybe. It's off to a good start. Yeah. I still don't know whether it's connected to the movies or not. I think it might be. But also...
Tom Bombadil. This is an email from Michael Bosmarov. It says, nearly died listening to you talk about people nearly dying.
We get one of these like a month.
No, but this is an extra layer.
Okay.
This is a real Inception.
Oh, that wasn't a like a, like a, like, shut up, Michael.
This is a real Inception or ten situation.
Okay.
July 20th this year, I had a major car accident while listening to your show from June 20th, 2018. I crashed into a deer while you were reading a letter about near-death experiences a listener had while listening to your show.
Oh, yeah.
My wife and I are okay, so all is good. Needless to say, you lads are indeed cursed.
Well, yeah. We're cursed through this podcast by a gypsy or whatever.
Yeah, that's
whatever
the thing, yeah.
Whatever the
yeah,
thing
yeah.
we said in episode
okay,
3.
Okay, but the question is, can we get another layer?
Oh, somebody listening to this having an accident.
Could that happen?
But you don't want like a death?
No.
Okay, good.
It has to be a funny accident.
Okay. If you have a tragic accident, we don't write in? We don't want to know?
I mean, it'd work. I mean, it'd certainly...
It would confirm the theory.
It would certainly confirm the theory, wouldn't it? So maybe send us an email and say not for publication.
Yeah, fair
then
point.
We'll know. Then we'll know, you know.
I got a tweet here from Yosaf.
Oh, yes.
Says, would you like to see an episode of Marvel's new What If series where Tony Stark dies from the initial shrapnel blast? No Iron Man, no Avengers, and the villains stay their course. Because who's left in the universe? You still got space stuff, though, don't you?
That's true.
Like, most of the Earth villains wouldn't exist, except Hydra, I guess.
That's a good question. What would happen, I think, is that at the start of the Avengers, when Loki is in Berlin or whatever it is,
yeah,
since there'd be no Iron Man to jump down and blast him, he would incinerate Captain America. And then the
That's
movie
entirely
would
possible.
End.
Yeah, then the movie would end.
Yeah.
Also, like, Obadiah Stane would just run a corrupt company selling
That's true,
weapons.
Yep.
He might even be Hydra.
That's true.
We just don't know because he died in a big robot suit.
That's
there was
true.
A big explosion. A big blue explosion.
But he might have some sort of profit sharing arrangement with the rest of the Stark employees and therefore Mysterio wouldn't.
Exactly.
Can we spoil that? Let's not.
Yeah, okay, sure. Let's not.
Yeah, everybody. Maybe it'll be a big old happy company and everybody's...
Yeah, I think there's still... Yeah, I think it'd be interesting to see what would happen regardless of him.
Yeah.
Because I think there's still a lot of stuff, but he did a lot of bad stuff.
There'd be no Whiplash because there's nobody to get revenge on Tony Stark. There'd be...
All that arc reactor technology wouldn't really exist.
Yeah, would Killian still be building those extremist soldiers?
Actually, he'd probably still... Because he created him before.
Yeah.
So, yes.
Yeah.
I mean, the arc reactor does exist, but it's not a miniaturized version
That's
of
true,
it.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was more like a fun thing that he built for fun, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess
than, like,
that's
an
true,
actual,
yeah.
Yeah, no one would think to shrink it down and put it in a war suit.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of emails asking us what we think of the boys. Well, we told you what we thought about the boys.
Back up, all right, back up. I'll get my boys on you. You know my mate Cunners? He He'll come and get you, mate. Don't worry.
Yeah.
He's huge, isn't he, Mason?
That's...
Crush your head.
Yep.
His bare hands.
Like one of the boys.
Yeah.
This is from Isaac Brunton.
Yes.
He enjoys the podcast. Thank you very much,
Thank you very much, Isaac Brunton. Yeah.
I also travel a lot and recently found myself listening to the pod up at 5,000 metres in Iran on a mountaineering trip.
Oh, yeah.
And here's a photo.
Could be anyone, anywhere.
Could be anyone, anywhere. Anyone, anywhere. Where's the picture of I mean, he's probably taken a photo.
Those clothes could be stuffed with newspaper.
That's true.
There might not be a man in there at all.
That's true,
Do you see any skin there?
Nope.
Yeah.
Nope. Could be a still from a Star Wars 9. Yeah, we don't know.
We don't know.
Do you think that's what it is?
It's definitely
this
that.
This is some leaked footage. Okay, yeah.
Could very well be.
Negative 25 degrees Celsius.
Brutal.
Yeah.
That's the show though, isn't it, Mason?
Yes, it is.
Bring us home, Country Road.
Thank you, everybody, for listening to the podcast. We bloody appreciate it. Thank you, everybody, for subscribing and telling a friend. We appreciate that very much. If you'd like to give us a nice review, that would be very appreciated too.
I've got one right here, Mason. I do. The subject line is waterboarding. And it said, if I had to choose between listening to this podcast and being waterboarded, I would choose to listen to this podcast.
Yes!
5 stars.
Oh,
that's pretty good, isn't
it? That's pretty good. So, I always wondered how this podcast would stack up against actual torture.
Good, it turns out.
I think so too. I reckon I'd choose it as well. I don't really like listening to the sound of my own voice, but I think I would also take it over torture. So that's really good.
Reviews help, so thank you to all those people.
If you you can get a hold of us at weeklyplanetpod@gmail, Facebook, Twitter, and Bandcamp. I'm at Wikipedia Brown on Twitter and Nick Maso, NickMaseau on Instagram. You're Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere, right?
I am everywhere and everyone.
Everywhere that counts.
Yes.
You can go to planetbroadcasting.com. You can see all the shows on the Planet Broadcasting Network. You can sign up to our newsletter from Rob Collings, the great man himself. He's at The Weekly Planet and at Rob Collings on Twitter.
You know he is.
Yes.
Great dude.
If you'd like to support the show, and why wouldn't you?
Yeah, why wouldn't you? Multiple reasons.
Yeah, but
multiple
reasons.
If you'd like to,
if you'd like to anyway,
yeah.
Regardless, if you want to chuck in a buck, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. You can also go to the Amazon affiliate link in our episode description.
I'm putting Blade up earlier this week. We did a caravan of garbage.
Oh, nice.
It's recorded and well in advance.
Up on the Patreon. Yeah, very good.
Have a look at that this week, yeah.
Thank you to The Brute and The Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. We have some T-shirts on TeePublic,
mm-hmm.
our regular ones, and also Ferber Quigley, I'm Fine.
That's right.
And number one Party Boy T-shirts.
Yeah.
Very good stuff.
Next week, Mason, what is it?
I don't know.
Do you want to do maybe some Tarantino stuff?
Sure. Well, we don't get
that's not here till the 15th.
Yeah, we don't get that for a few weeks.
But next week, maybe we do Reservoir Dogs, and Pulp Fiction, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Rewatch those. What do you reckon? Okay, pretty good. Work our way up to Death Proof, I understand.
We are skipping Death Proof.
What? I think we should rewatch Death Proof.
We'll do Death Proof. Yeah. I know.
Should we watch Death Proof and Planet Terror or just Death Proof?
Well, we're in a bit of a predicament, I think, in the numbers leading up, because I think Reservoir Dogs and Pulp Fiction go together very well.
Yep.
Jackie Brown, which I've never seen.
Oh, I should
but then
Jackie
I think
Brown.
The next is like the two Kill Bill movies.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've got to do like Jackie Brown and maybe Death Proof together.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we do Kill Bill or some variation on that.
Okay, all right.
You know, that's depending if this podcast lasts that long. We might be cancelled. You know what I mean? Because it's PC gone mad.
That's absolutely PC gone mad.
Yeah. But that's the show, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
See you next week.
Grab that gem, you guys.
And we appreciate it, people listening.
We do.
We really do.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, goodbye. Forever.
Next week.
Yeah, that's right.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.